got this. You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey! Hey! I'm dumb. Oh. I'm dumb. Hey, come on!
The weekend's here! Have a can of beer!
Joe.
Top of the world! Looking down on creation!
Are you on top of the world, Joe?
Huh?
Yeah. Are you ready for your big stunt today? Don't give it away.
Yes,
but are you ready for your big stunt?
Yes.
Scared, kids?
It's Friday the 13th.
Ooh.
Oh, boy, I bet I know what it is.
Spare no expense, do we?
It's Friday the 13th.
Sometimes little movements before the show suddenly make sense to me.
Top of the world.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
You're up next. It's 37 minutes after the hour, and you're on next. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
All right, wait. Let me turn down my radio.
Okay, by all means. The gentleman is turning his radio down, and he is rejoining us in... Are you there?
Yes, yep. I'm here.
Okay. I can still hear your radio in the background.
The what?
I can still hear your radio in the background.
Okay.
You'll have to turn it off.
Okay, I'll turn it off.
Okay, great. So, we are... Is it off now?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great.
Yes, what is your name? I've never heard you before.
Oh, my name is Hugh. Hugh Hamilton.
Oh, that's great, because you have a lot of fans that listen to the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, boy. Good afternoon, Talkback. It's going to be one of those afternoons, is it? I'm game for this.
How bad you want me to get, Jack? If I get any worse, the Johnson office won't pass it.
Wild card caller in Virginia. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on with my guest, Dr. David. Go ahead.
I'm George.
Yes, sir.
I got to hand it to you for being able to follow part of this conversation. Some of it is just going right through me, over my head. I have a question about time travel.
Okay.
And that, let's say your guest and I, he and I both got in the same time machine. We went into the past by, say, 6 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Met ourselves, grabbed a hold of ourselves, brought ourselves forward into the future. Now, all four of us, standing right here, right now, since we are right here, right now, would the four of us still be able to listen to the Don and Mike Show?
Well, if you do that, you grab yourself and
thank you.
Now there's a time traveler who left his brain behind.
Well, you've taken yourself. Oh, oops, my phone fell off.
Get ready for some hot fun. This Wednesday, the Don and Mike Reno-style show returns to Hooters of Rockville, 1471 Rockville Pike. Come enjoy the scenery as you feast your eyes on the tempting, youthful, voluptuous figure of the entire Don and Mike crew. Delicious Don, mouth-watering Mike, audacious Bud, red-hot Rob, and John and Joe, your joy boy. The fun starts at 8 p.m., so come out and revel in their sexiness. Oh, yeah, and the Hooters girls are pretty, too. Don and Mike at Hooters of Rockville. We'll see you there, baby. Buzz Burbank is certified clean. Medical documentation on file. Thank you.
Okay, up next... These two guys have been here for the last couple weeks. They asked me to read this. Warning, if you want your asses blown out, stay in the room. Ladies and gentlemen,
Don and Mike.
I call him like I see him, and man, there's a lot of possible backstage Bettys in the audience tonight.
I got a bowl of chocolate pudding in my underpants.
We didn't have any pudding in there, buddy.
All right. Time for your starting lineup for the 15th most popular radio show in all of Rockville, Maryland. The Don and Mike Show. This man likes Diet Cherry Coke. He likes Batman, Star Trek.
And playing video games with other little kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain of the ship, Don Geronimo.
Hey, does this suit make me look fat?
No, no, no. Your face does.
Whoa. That's not what we're about. Hey, don't confuse the art with the artist. I mean, yeah, up on stage, I'm Zeus, I'm Elvis. But back here, I'm just plain old Jack.
This next man likes to drink alcohol and used to play with crap. His old blues band. Ladies and gentlemen, the great voice impersonator and Don's right-hand man, Mike O'Bara.
I love scotch. I love scotch. Scotch and scotch, scotch. Here it goes down, down into my belly.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off.
This next man is a well-respected Aryan scholar. He used to dress up as a clown, but he has risen to great power on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Rob Spiewak.
Spring time for Hitler and Germany.
Hold your tongue, witch.
And this man is part of a long lineage of great newsmen. Dan Rather, Walter Cronkite, Ron Burgundy. He's from the mean streets of Kansas. He likes weed and swinging. The one, the only, Buzz Burbank.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
Last but not least, the world's oldest phone screener. His idea of a good time is getting drunk and tape recording cicadas in the woods. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Artinger.
Let's say the average person uses 10% of their brain. How much do you use? 1.5%. The rest is clogged with malted hops and bong resin.
I've been up all night shooting cheese balls. That's cocaine and cheese.
Ladies and gentlemen, put on your helmet, strap on your seatbelt, because here comes Don and Mike.
Wow. Nine. It's not quite over yet, Mike.
Oh, it isn't.
5, 4, 3. You know, sometimes hearing them is like hearing them for the first time, isn't it?
It's true.
We have ignition and liftoff.
Father in heaven, please let tonight's show go well. Please make them like it.
All right, who the hell did that?
A lengthy offering.
That's loyal listener, Mike Sanoff.
The Don and Mike Show.
Sanoff? Thank you, Mike.
Hello!
Mike Sanoff.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I have been out of the farm.
Cut the jibba jabba.
Been out of Ginger's farm.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
You should have seen me with a toga man.
Whoa, look out! Look out! Look out!
Hello!
Hello.
You're a goddamn genius.
He's mentally retarded.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
I'll make it feel really good for you, hon.
I know you will. I know you will.
Oh. Hi there.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi there. Let's go down to Junior's farm. Paul McCartney, that's a good starting song. Get this, Jack.
How bad you want me to get, Jack? If I get any worse, the Johnson office won't pass it.
I could probably teach you a few things. Like, you know, some positions and moves.
I know. Don't forget our motto.
Look. The key for me is to keep expectations low.
Yeah, baby.
Thank you!
All right, let's go right there.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike!
Thank you. Big ass. And you can't tell by the smell. This is the Don and Mike Show. And new episode, everybody, on this Friday.
Friday.
Not only Friday.
It's Friday the 13th.
Right.
Yes, it is.
Woo! 1013-06. It's the 13th of October. Here's the phone number in case you did not hear it. 877-365-3636. One phone number, 24 lines still waiting from North America, including Canada. If you want to hear us on your computer, we're there. Go to our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com. Click on Listen Live. If you want to send us email, God, do we love your fan mail.
Is there anything better than that?
Piling up in the back room of those big, gigantic Santa Claus sacks of mail.
Just like Miracle on 34th Street.
Jeff, go ahead and email us. Our man Yanni back there. Battling a combination of kidney stones and hemorrhoids. Answering your email.
Yeah, he's really always on the bubble, so to speak.
DonandMikeWebsite.com. Show is also available for you on...
Look, if you didn't like that. I like the dirty look. That's good. You gave a very dirty look to me.
You didn't like that, John?
Great, I love that.
And this is a ha. There it is, right there.
Is there more?
And iTunes. Yes, iTunes, for God's sake.
I mean more song. There's no more song, man.
And dude, that's the end of Junior's Farm, Mike.
Oh man, that could have gone on and on. I like that. I enjoyed that.
Hey, all right, there we go.
No.
Part two. No.
Shut up.
That's awful right now. Okay. Thank you, Paul. I'm looking at the disc here, and we certainly could start the all-Paul weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I love Paul McCartney.
Oops.
That's not Paul McCartney.
It's also under P. Oh, I see. Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Don't feel the same way about him. Not exactly as passionate about Paul Revere and the Raiders as I am about
Paul McCartney.
Like Paul Revere and Wings. Not that Paul Revere and the Raiders aren't just fine.
They had great hats. Your Rock Authority. Laser 98.
He knew his chords, man.
McCartney. And isn't that still how they do it, like on rock radio, where the song will start and they'll go, you know, it's the George Bush way of talking. We were mentioning it yesterday. It's a way of actually talking without really saying anything.
No cut and run.
Yeah, it's doorbell. Home of classic Laser 98 rock.
Denny Hester, good man, served his country well.
Sir Paul, the only station that really rocks. Zombie,
can't read.
Afternoon. Picking a roid for Johnny Norman.
Someone knocking at the door. Somebody.
Now you're smiling.
Hi, John.
See, you can't shoot those dirty looks at me.
I wasn't shooting you dirty.
Yeah, you were. Okay, that's all right. That's right. Okay. No problem. I looked over at him and he was like, that is his way. Yeah, that's true.
His way.
He's sour.
He's sour? Is he sour?
He's sour like bad milk, Mike.
What's that?
I love to hate.
Mike, he is sour like three-day-old milk.
I don't think I'm characterizing the look, John, because it really wasn't a dirty look as much as it was almost bordering on a scary look. Like the kind of look you would get from a guy that you pissed off in a bar.
Bingo.
And I know those looks.
Bingo.
That's for sure.
All right. So hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. First, I mentioned yesterday at the beginning of the show that my daughter was having surgery and the CAD thing, and that all worked out okay.
The CAD didn't hit a lot of potholes?
It did not. I'm happy to announce that. How about this? Am I a jerk? I don't think so. I got offered one ticket to go see Barbara Streisand tonight.
Yeah.
Somebody, a friend of mine, I'm not going to mention the name. Oh, right.
Well, one ticket to go with that person?
Yeah, with their party. Here, I don't want to say it because, anyways, that family.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
They call me up.
Right.
They say, hey.
Well, a nice gesture.
No, it's last minute. Would you like to join us tonight at Barbara Streisand? Oh. She's playing here in D.C. tonight. And I said no, and it was just a moment. And
so did you maybe put those two magic words after the no? Did you say no? Thank you.
Oh no, of course I did.
But you made it sound like you said no.
No, the person called me up. The guy called me up,
right.
And I have a loose give and take with him on the phone, mm-hmm. And it's very much he's one of these speakerphone guys, right?
Right.
Like I pick the phone and up and I hear, hey. What's happening? How you doing? I'm like, doing fine. What's happening?
Nothing. Thinking about tonight. Got an extra ticket for Streisand right here. Hottest ticket in town.
Everybody's going to be there, huh? You want to go? What do you say? You going to go? Going to go tonight? Going to go? What do you say?
I went, no.
He went, what? And then at that time it was...
I got the phone pick up. What did you say? I said, no thanks. I said, really, I have to work until 7. He said, well, she won't even go on like till 9:30
right.
or something like
right.
that.
Right.
I said, ooh, I don't know. I said, what are you, you know, what are you wearing? And he said, well, we're just wearing clothes. He said, come, what's wrong? And then he said, don't you like Barbra Streisand? And I said, yeah, sure, I like Barbra Streisand. He said, well, then why don't you go? Well, you know, I don't like going to concerts.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, it's a hot ticket, and we thought that maybe you would... And, you know, he gave me like 1,000 chances.
Did he give it any thought, or was it an immediate no?
No, it was an immediate no, and I was very polite with the guy and said, thank you, I appreciate you thinking of me, you know.
Didn't you tell him you're going to see Guns N' Roses?
Yeah. Who knows, you know.
They're opening for Barbra Streisand.
When Steeler's Wheel comes to town,
yeah.
You know, call me.
You know, Don, it is her farewell tour.
Yeah, it's like it's her 5th farewell tour. She's like Cher. And, you know, really the truth is, the guy that offered me the tickets is a very nice guy, but frankly, he's out of my league. He's one of these guys that I met through somebody else,
yeah, right.
and he lives in a different world than I live in. And even if there had been 2 tickets that had been offered, I feel rather uncomfortable traveling in that social stratosphere.
I get that
they travel in, and immediately I was just thinking, me with nobody, you know, just me in a room, and I'm picturing a bunch of people dressed like Mrs. Foggy Bottom, and they've all got the
furs on,
the fur stoles that still have
wearing tuxedos.
They still have the
tuxedos,
the dog's head on the end of the fur stole, and they're all smoking with cigarette holders,
right.
And they're all dressed like the Monopoly Man, and they're all going, isn't this marvelous? Isn't Barbara just totally marvelous? She's the best performer of all time. And then I'm there, you know, like from Hee Haw.
Right. You'd have a good time, probably. I don't know, though. Would you have a good time at a Barbra Streisand concert? I mean, you know, the only thing that would attract me to that show would be the fact that in that area of she, you know, there's not going to be another person like her around anymore. She's kind of a throwback to the old days. But, I mean, other than that,
she
man.
She might slug a heckler.
What's that?
She might slug a heckler.
Right. Yeah, she gets mad at hecklers.
Yeah, you don't think Christine Aguilera is going to be the next Barbra Streisand?
You gave me a choice with the 2 tickets?
For my girl Brittany?
I'd go see Christina. I mean, I'm sorry.
Good
I just
for you.
Yeah, just because she's easier on the eye.
If that guy is...
I mean, really, when you go to a concert, don't you agree... There's got to be a little more than just the music.
Visual.
There's really got to be a little more. That's the way I feel. I look at it. Right. I can't just sit there and listen. I don't care who the artist is.
Amen.
To listen. Well, Don, you feel the same way. To listen to the same person or the same band sing and sing and sing and sing.
People who need people.
Are the luckiest
people. Are the
people.
Crappiest people in the world. That's always been my motto.
Well,
hey, Don, don't rain on my parade.
You've not been to a concert since Wayne. And you would have to measure up.
Yeah, how did you top the Wayne Newton concert?
Well, you know why we stayed at Wayne Newton. We're going
to
go backstage and... Because the drinks were flowing.
Matt,
you give me a concert where, you know, you got a cocktail table.
So anyway, if he's listening right now, I mentioned to him that I was going to mention this on the air. Thank you so much for thinking of me. And
you guys don't hang anymore? You guys aren't the way you were?
We went down to Stony Inn, Mike. And he said to me, my heart belongs to me.
Oh, you don't send him
Evergreen.
Flowers. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh. There you go.
Evergreen.
All right, I'm out, faggot.
Evergreen.
I'm out.
Right. He's a fag.
Right. I'm not playing this game.
I'm Mr. Yentl, okay?
Making me uncomfortable.
just so he knows, if he's listening, what I told him I was going to do tonight is true. Because he started saying to me, oh, come on, you have other plans. I'm like, no, you really don't know me. For all the time you've known me, you don't know me. I am going to go home tonight. I'm going to... revel in the fact that it's the end of the week. I'm going to play a buddy of mine in Xbox Live. I'm going to watch Law & Order. I'm going to go to bed before 11 o'clock.
You appeared when I saw you. The first thing I thought was that perhaps you did have an engagement this evening.
Yes.
Based on how festively you were you're garbed today.
You think I would go to a... You think, well, maybe, you know, I look faggy enough. This shirt is definitely
fag-alicious. I would say what you are wearing would be perfect for a Barbra Streisand concert. You're dressed a little more like Natalie than you normally are. I mean, you're not wearing jeans or a sweatshirt.
No, I have on a very, very gay,
colored
polo shirt. That's like right. The kind that Randy, like the kind Randy Jackson wears.
Long
right.
Sleeve.
One of those.
But you see, you put it all together with the fact that you're wearing a, your kid's school's logo. So it's a little football-y. That actually steers it away. If you had that sweater, that color sweater without that Clemson Tiger
claw
on it.
It is a purple. Listen.
You would be Craig Wilson with that outfit if you didn't have the Tiger paw.
You're just going to smell the KY right through the radio when I tell you it. What I'm wearing is a purple sweater vest, and the shirt that I have on is striped, and it has pink, white, blue, red.
It's very Tommy Hilfiger.
Light green, light pink.
Is it a Tommy Hilfiger shirt?
No, it's... Mike and Ralph Lauren. Polo shirt.
But you are dressed up compared to the way you were dressed yesterday,
you're dressed up
today.
You know why? Here's why. Here's another fascinating insight into my big empty mind.
Please.
I was looking at my dry cleaning today.
Okay.
And thinking, look at all of these clothes that I have.
Right.
When we worked back at the other station, we actually had to go in and see people every day.
Okay.
There would be like two or three times a week. You're going to have to wear at least like a pair of khakis or something in and a shirt.
Dress up a little bit.
Because you'd have to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the luxury we have now is really if I want to, I wear my freaking PJs to work every day. We don't see. Yeah, you like that idea, Mike?
I do. Hey, you thought Barber Day was good? How about Jamma Day? No, that's too gay.
PJ Day.
If we all showed up in our pajamas. Give me a break.
And what made me actually think about putting on a regular shirt today was... I, at one point, thought, well, it's going to be kind of cool outside. Maybe I'll just wear sweats.
Yeah.
So I put on a pair of sweatpants and, like, a hoodie sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at myself.
Sean John?
Green Bay Packers, of course. I look at myself in the mirror, and I'm like, this is what I wear, like, on Saturday when I don't want anybody to see me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then I thought, well, I don't care what you schmucks think of what I'm wearing.
Right.
You know, because we all dress like bums when we come to work, with the exception of Buzz.
Right.
You know, it was always... wearing some slickly manufactured item.
Nicely coordinated.
Oh, Mike's got a shirt on today.
Yeah, actually,
thank you.
Nobody's a slouch here. Thank you. No, but I'm wearing jeans. I come in occasionally with a nice little outfit.
No, I'm talking about me.
You don't do it like you used to.
I dressed, so I thought today, you know what? What the hell? I'll put on a real shirt.
You did.
What's the faggiest shirt I got that I won't be able to wear? Because you can't wear this in the wintertime.
No.
You certainly could wear that shirt in the wintertime.
You pulled it all together. But you could waltz into the Barbara Streisand concert with that outfit. That'd be perfect. Outside of wearing like a jacket and tie.
I even got on pants that really... Oh, you know, after Labor Day, you're not supposed to. I'm
supposed to wear white after Labor Day.
Would you consider them white or khaki?
They're white.
Really?
In fact, they're like
white.
They're not. They're pre-Labor Day pants.
They're khaki.
Well, they're khaki, but they're in that Great Gatsby khaki.
No,
you know,
they're khaki enough.
They're lighter khaki.
They're not. They're the light khakis.
They're not white.
He just came around. For those of you that are listening, he came around the console. We got a fashion show. Just a second. What kind of shoes are you wearing with those? Are you wearing white Bucks?
Wearing my black tennis shoes.
Black, okay, all right, so that's cash.
Which you
that's
told
cash.
Me the other day are the most non-faggy black tennis shoes you've ever seen in your life.
Like, I've never purchased those kind of shoes, but those are acceptable enough where I might get them.
Right. You know what that is? That's Reebok, and that's going to the back of the Foot Locker, where they've got all the stuff that nobody else wants.
Right.
And I found these incredible black Reebok shoes that almost can pass for real shoes, but they're tennis shoes or whatever the hell you call them now.
Yeah. You know, the way we're garbed around here, the way everybody dresses, and, you know, most of us during the break will hang out in front of the building and just, just chat, and some guys will smoke. And I said the other day that as people come into the chiropractor's office, we have to be a very interesting-looking group. Because you've got, like, four or five guys out there. And I would say, really... If I was judging us and I didn't know anybody, I'd look at us and think that, you know, this has to be
something,
a group of undercover
something
cops.
Something shady's going on here.
Something shady or something law enforcement, because we're all at that age.
We don't look like cops, but we do look like we have the potential maybe to be moving truckloads worth of merchandise through our office complex.
We look rather roguish, and I would imagine for some of the patients coming to see the good doctor next door, it's a little intimidating because, you know, we just stand there and we don't say hi. We really don't say hi to anybody. We make fun. We do make fun, but not that they can hear us.
It is like sitting in front of that place with the pig on The Sopranos. Right?
Yes.
You know, where they all sit in front of that coffee shop in the morning. That's exactly what it's like when everybody's standing outside together.
And because it's kind of angled a certain way, we really can't put any furniture out there.
But we do need
like a little table.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bench or something. Buzz was warming himself next to the heating units yesterday. That's very construction worker like.
Yes,
you know?
We need a fire barrel.
A fire barrel?
Yeah. Like on the corner of New York City.
I like that.
Pretty good.
I like that. But you look very well dressed.
Well, I'm only wearing the Clemson thing because my kids' school, you know, they played last night,
didn't they?
Yes, they did. They won like by 60 points. They're off to their best start in years. As a matter of fact, let me call Cody Gifford.
Did he go to the game?
Yeah, I was in a away game. But I happen to know that Friday is the day that he has no classes.
Call me when you have no class.
So
I'm in a college football mood today. I watched simply the greatest movie ever made this morning.
What, Rudy?
Yeah.
Faggot. You call me faggot.
Did you cry? Earlier than I normally do.
Wow.
I cried when he reads the Newt Rockne speech and he's in the locker room.
Is that why you watched it? Because you needed to do that?
I was on the elliptical.
Ah.
You're crying when you're working out?
Yep.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, hola.
What's up?
Here he is. It's time for the college weekend scoreboard. And joining us now, I don't have Bart on the air nearly as much as when he was a little kid. For God's sakes.
God, I only wish we had that.
He's a grown man now. He's 21 years old.
Uh-huh.
Incidentally, I'm so proud of him. Acing all of the stuff this year in school.
Good for you, Bart.
Making it through his midterms, handling the stuff out there on his own, getting it done. So, Barty, I was just mentioning that I'm wearing that purple Clemson sweater vest because your school's team won big last night.
Yes, sir.
And what can you tell us is on your college football weekend scoreboard? Not necessarily the games that you're going to watch, but what are you, a young 21-year-old all-American male, planning for this weekend?
Let's see. I may hang out with a few friends. I most likely won't watch that much college football because I prefer NFL.
You're a pro football guy.
Well, then are you going to be going to one of those crazy college parties tonight?
Perhaps it could happen. I have to make a few phone calls still, but
so the plans have not been finalized.
I don't really make plans.
Ah ha ha! You bon vivant.
Shut up. Did you get your hibachi?
The grill? No, not yet.
Not yet.
What time is the study group?
That's a funny one. That's a funny one. Hey, here's a question for you. For the last big Costco.
That's a good question, Rob. Can we ask that question?
What was that, Mike?
Did we wake him? I'm curious, too. Did we wake you, Bart?
No, I was merely lounging and attempting to recuperate.
Oh, one of those.
Let's play The Price Is Right now with Bart, who was a junior in college.
All right.
When I was down there about a month ago, I was down there visiting him. I noticed in his kitchen that he had a gigantic Costco box of ramen noodles.
Okay.
Let's play The Price Is Right. Mike, how much do you think... Bart, how many containers of everyone's favorite Roman numeral...
Roman numeral.
Ramen.
Ramen noodles.
Everybody loves ramen.
How many of those were in that case? Was it 24?
It was 25, but the thing you must keep in mind were that these were no ordinary ramen noodles. They were cup of noodles.
Oh.
So you don't have to get a bowl or nothing. You can just put the water in there.
Okay, so there's a little more involved in the packaging and the presentation.
Bowl or nothing. That's a college education.
Right.
Okay, what do you think, Mike?
As far as the price?
Yeah.
For the case?
For 25.
For 25? I'm going to say the price was $17.95.
Rob?
$6.50.
Buzz?
I'll say $12.95.
Hold on, John wins in on this. Yanni?
$10.
Joe?
$4.99.
Barty, what's the price?
John Norman wins $10.
$10.
$10.
All right.
So you managed to make that last into how many meals?
25.
25 meals.
Beautiful.
You never doubled up? You never got real hungry and doubled up on the noodles?
Not usually. That's a little bit too much sodium for me.
Well, I was going to say you're on the low salt Atkins diet.
All right. Well, everything else cool?
Yeah, everything else is going well.
All right.
Well, you're my man. I'm proud of you. Just wanted to say hi and give you a Cody Gifford moment.
In
a
sure.
Because when he was a little boy, I used to love bringing him out to perform for everybody.
So I remember the weatherman.
So here he is now.
Do I sound old? Don't I sound like an old guy there?
I remember when he was Bart the weatherman.
Yeah. All right, buddy boy. We'll be safe this weekend.
Always.
All right. I love you. I'll talk to you later.
Love you, too.
All right. Bye, bud.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. So long, guys.
He doesn't.
So long. See you later. It's been
he doesn't put that on anymore. That's really.
No, actually, he's starting to sound like
that's,
you.
That's the real way he's
starting
sounds.
To sound like you.
Oh, God, I hope not.
He sounds a little. He's got that kind of vocal quality that you have. A little bit.
Okay.
Only a little bit lower. A little bit lower.
Good for him. Good for him. That's, you know what that is? That's just another one of the great source genes that's been passed on to him.
And the cigars.
To lottery winner Bart.
Hey, you're killing me.
What was that, Richard Simmons? Was that a comment about cigars?
No, I said perhaps Bart's been having cigars as well.
Okay. How many days in a row are you going to wear that Entourage shirt to work?
Here it begins.
First of all, I haven't.
This would be the segment of the show where we all begin to feed on each other.
This would be the first day in a row, I guess. Boz, I'm kidding.
That is your favorite jacket, though.
Hey, I needed something lightweight today, and this filled the bill.
Boz doesn't smoke cigars.
Right.
Buzz, I'm kidding.
You know, that's why we need to get jackets for the show.
Yeah.
Or pajamas. Like our own special jackets. I'm getting them all for us for Christmas.
What, like DJ jackets?
Yeah, satin. Huh? Cool. Exactly. No, I might get really cool jackets for everybody that they'd wear.
There's a lot of X's on mine.
It would have to be a really cool one to get all of us to wear, Mike.
It would have to be special. But, I just don't think they're out there. I really don't think they're out there. Tuxedo jackets.
Don't forget Tim Sabian.
Penguins.
When Tim Sabian was known as Tom Gray, when he worked at WLS,
in you know Chicago he named himself me. That. You know he had to name himself that. It lacks creativity.
When he worked there, they gave us jackets, baseball jackets, one year for Christmas.
That's
and
the leather and the leather sleeves.
Oh no! It was like a satin baseball jacket.
Oh, okay, satin baseball.
Back in 1980-81,
right?
And at the time, some teams, I think the Dodgers maybe, actually put the players' names on the back of their warm-up jacket.
Right.
So the station gave us these god-awful, these hideous disco-looking baseball jackets that...
With the striped waistband and the striped sleeve, the wristband.
Around the collars, right. So the station's logo was in the breast pog at WLS.
Right.
On the back of it, a gigantic WLS Music Radio logo. And on the top of it was your last name.
Wow.
Okay? Tom Gray, a.k.a. Tim Sabian. Tom Kelly, excuse me. He used Tom Grant, he used Tim Kelly, he used many names at
right.
WLS.
Right.
He actually would wear the jacket around.
Did you say he wore it at all times of the year?
Everywhere. Yeah. He would wear it everywhere. Mm-hmm. He liked advertising, in fact.
Loved it.
He liked
advertising himself.
Hey, Tim Kelly. You know what?
I am a radio guy.
I'm sorry, I'm getting my guys mixed up. Tom Gray is a real guy.
Right.
Tim Kelly was his name. But Tom Gray is another guy that would wear the jacket all the time with his name on it.
Why don't you just refer to Sabian as douchebag?
Did he wear it in one of his matching Buicks?
That's right. He had one and his wife had one, right?
Yeah.
That's fine. He was so proud of that. He was so proud.
And you were so proud for him that you mentioned it.
I was. Shut up.
You mentioned it on the air, didn't you?
Yeah. You know, there's some things you bring up that I don't know if people think are funny or not.
I think people will.
Even way back then, Tim Sabian, who for a while was our jerk-off program director in Philadelphia.
Right.
And really 86 us there. Thanks a lot, Timbo.
Appreciate it, Tim.
Anyway, he had worked with me at the station in Chicago, and at the time he was higher on the food chain than I was. And loved talking to me about the fact that I drove an old beat-up Honda Civic
right.
that I shared with my wife,
right.
and he and his wife had matching Buick Skylarks. And both of them had vanity tags that said, like, WLS, and the other one said, like, WLS 89.
Sure. I do not believe even you could go back as far as the 30s, and having matching Skylarks would probably not exactly make a big statement.
No. And one particular weekend, I remember it was a Saturday, he was doing like middays, 10 to 2.
I'm doing
2 to 6 on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Stone Container Building, downtown Chicago on Michigan and Wacker. And the parking lot for the radio station is right next to a big skyscraper. And on Saturday, there's the DJ parking lot. There's only one car there.
Right.
So it's Tom Gray's car. But he's got it parked like over four spots.
Sure.
Right, so no one touches it.
Right.
So I get...
Because it was brand new and shiny?
I get...
Was it red?
No, it was gray. It was gray. It was gray. I get upstairs and I say, hey, car's looking great. And he said, yeah, well, you know, I got it going on. It's his and hers, Buick Skylux. My wife's got one identical, except you maybe you noticed on the top, mine, it's blue and gray, and hers is gray and blue. And blah, 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 blah.
Really? What a stain.
So anyway,
what a stain right there. I mean, he can't be anything but a stain after that.
Right. So what happens is... I'm watching him on the security cameras on the way out. You know, this is what you can do. You know, you're just sitting there waiting for the record to end.
Right.
And I'm just watching him leave the building all proud of himself, wearing his jacket with his name on the back of it. And at that point, I was really the low man on the totem pole of this radio station. And he walked out all smug and full of himself. And then I could watch the camera by the parking area and watch him get into his car. And I started the show, and like third record in, I said something like, hey, and Tim Kelly on the way home, drive that brand new Buick Skylark. Looks just like the one that your wife has. That's a smart look tonight. I know you got the big 89 on the radio as you're cruising down Lake Shore Drive in your brand new Buick.
He didn't like it, did he?
He did not like it.
Yeah, of course he did.
It was before the advent of cell phones, so I had to wait for him to pull off at a payphone.
Good.
I remember where he was. He told me, and Bud, you remember this from Chicago.
Right.
He was at the Howard Johnson's Oasis.
Ah, yes.
And what this is was on one of the expressways, the Dan Ryan or the Kennedy, whatever right. It is. It's an overpass where they had like Stuckies and stuff like
right,
that,
right.
Where you could stop and get something to eat off the expressway. So he actually stopped at this one to call me up on the hotline to say, hey, and he was even back then. He's like, hey, Don, yes, it's Tim Kelly. Hey, what's happening? Hey, man, you know, at WLS, we're a team.
Oh, God, he is a boy, I tell you.
I'm like,
that guy.
Excuse me, because I thought I did like a nice bit talking about him. And he said, listen, I would never want our listeners to know that I live such a lifestyle where I could afford two brand new cars.
Wow,
and
you know,
WLS is about every man, and really we're all on the same team. And I just wanted to tell you that, you know, I mean, the kidding around that you do with like Larry, and I know when Steve and Gary give you a hard time, that's one thing. But, man, and I remember him saying to me, seriously, when you're on the Big 89, it's an honor and a privilege.
Oh, and God.
I remember being lectured.
Meant, seriously, born to be a program director.
Yeah. Right. And at that point, he was just a weekend DJ and the music director.
Yeah, right.
But because he was the music director, and because he was just the guy calling, you know, I had to go, well, okay. And at that point, I didn't have the balls that I do now. I wouldn't have, you know, now I would have come on the air the next break and said, hey, it's the fraternity of WLS, you dick. God. But, yeah, he had the matching cars. And,
well, maybe it was a grudge.
The matching cars. And
maybe so he can screw us later on in his
right.
career.
Well, he accomplished that.
Mm-hmm.
Things worked out great for him. Oh, and what else? Oh, God, it'll be a big weekend for me because the assimilation of the girlfriend who I like
right.
is moving along. Mm-hmm. That now this weekend we're going to be getting together with Frida's sister, Robin, and my brother-in-law, Bill.
Right.
We're going to be going out and chowing down, and then she will, I think, have met absolutely everybody that's important for her to meet.
That's a good thing.
And we'll see what happens after that. But
so she doesn't turn over a table or something like that, it could be good.
I'm going to give her a sedative. And
one of those horse tranquilizers you carry around.
And make sure that she's good and matted up tomorrow night, and that she just nods and smiles. And,
it's a good thing.
No, she's... She is such a sweet lady, and I'm very, very lucky that I found her. She is very accommodating of my quirky freaking behavior. That I think I mentioned yesterday that the lock on my door broke, so she was at home waiting for this.
Right.
And last night, as I pulled up the driveway, I saw her car was still there, and inside my head, I was thinking, oh. You know, just because I wasn't, I'm used to living alone
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
When Janet comes over, it's great, but I got to know when she's going to be there. So, I mean, we're not to that point yet. And she's so nice to do stuff to help me out around the house,
right.
Getting something done. So I thought, oh, okay, keep this under control. It's fine. Saw her last night. If I see her tonight, that's okay. No, don't flip out about this. Come on. Get it together. You know, I'm really having this conversation with myself. I mean, I'm in the garage. I open up the door, and the first thing I see is she's feeding the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And right away, because of the way my mind works, like, okay, feeding the dog means here we go. She's gonna linger.
Moving
squat,
in.
Squatter's right. not that I don't think she's fantastic.
Right.
And I like spending time with her. But she's got her routine. I've got my routine, and this is why she's
pretty good. TV night last night.
Yeah. But, yes. And you know, to me, CSI is you know, it's the Holy Grail, and she by coincidence likes Grey's Anatomy, mm-hmm. which happens to be on at the same time.
Right. So there's a little bit of a conflict.
So what do you do?
Right.
So you stay at home on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
I stay at home on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just so nice, so great, that when I walked through the door, I said, oh, hey, hi. Oh, you're feeding the dog. Please don't do that. I said, please, you do enough. Please don't do that. And right away, the first thing she said is, don't worry, don't mind feeding the dog. I'm going to be out of here in 10 minutes. This is not a night.
She knows you.
This is not a night that we had planned to stay together.
She knows you.
And I said,
of course, you're not exactly subtle.
No, well, now
I mean, you give off a vibe that's pretty easy to read.
But I'm telling you, when I walked through the door last night, she could not detect it. I came through the door like, Cary Grant, darling. He's like, hello. Hello. How?
Do you think she got it from the don't do that with the dogs? That might have been a Cary.
Oh. Anyway, she's very nice.
Yes.
I'd really rather not have you feed the dogs. That will be an entree into staying the entire night, and I don't believe that's going to happen.
Well, you know, what's good about Janet is being in my situation. You know, Frida passed away, you know, 15 months ago. I'm cool with having a girlfriend. I'm cool with having her come over. I'm cool with going to her house, going right. places with her. But she understands this, and I don't mean to make this like when I see her, I give her orders or I denigrate, you know, degrade her in some way or treat her with less respect than I should. That it, actually the opposite is true. I treat her with way more respect than she deserves.
Oh, that's good.
But and she's very cool about my situation that I say I'm ready to make some type of commitment, like you're my girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
and you know, like there's not like there's a line of chicks outside waiting for me, but you know, you're it. You're nice. I like you. Let's get in our regular schedule. What's our regular schedule? Wednesday night, Saturday night, Sunday, and then we talk.
Right.
I like that. I like mm-hmm. I like the regular, you know, because I
move it at your own pace.
Because I said to Janet last night, I said it's not that I don't want you around. I do, but on the other hand, it's like, you know, if you're here one night, then you're here the next night, then you're here the next night. Well, one of these nights, I'm going to say this is too many nights in a row. And I said, if we're going to have a lot of nights in a row, we got to plan it out way in advance. And that's when she said, you know, you are thinking way too much about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, maybe I am. You know,
maybe you're right.
Color me guilty. Maybe she's right. But anyway, she ended up leaving, and then I don't know what it was.
Is it true that when she leaves, normally she leaves in tears?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And, you know,
big sobbing.
Big Joker tears. I mean, you know, with the mascara running all the way down.
She cries face. Much like Ben Stiller in Something About Mary when he ran outside.
That's right. You know what I mean? Go! See you Saturday! Get out of here. No, she's... She's very nice, and she's great to accommodate my oddities and I with her as well. She's not without her.
Wonderful.
Her quirks.
Well, you're both very lucky.
So anyway, at this point, I would say so. We'll see what's happening. You know, the one kid that went to the hospital yesterday made it home in the cab in the snowstorm.
Everything's good.
The other kid's okay. The girlfriend's okay. Got the thing going on this weekend. Yeah, okay,
pretty good. Check. Can you eat anything good this weekend?
What?
You going to eat anything good this weekend?
I don't think.
It's a cold weekend in October. It's a big eating weekend, isn't it? Some of us are planning.
I don't know. What are you planning, Mike?
I don't know.
I'm
planning on trying to discipline myself. So I'm going to try to live vicariously through others and ask them if they're planning a big eating weekend. If there's any really good place you're going for dinner, anything special?
I'm
starting with Friday night. I'm Carla's cooking dinner. We're going to have a Weight Watchers dinner tonight.
I'm making a pot of bacon chili. Not really.
I bet you've planned a little of your eat on tonight, right?
Well, I got my drink on.
Oh.
I got a 12-pack chilling, and after six of those, let's see how hungry
you are. You don't know anything that you're eating yet tonight, right, Don? You don't know what you're eating, like whether it's anything special?
Probably a steak.
Okay. Buzz, anything special?
Perhaps a turkey leg tomorrow.
Okay, you're going to a festival?
Yes, I am.
That immediately says outdoor festival.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Is that Renaissance Festival?
Yes, yes, it is.
You're going to the last weekend of the Renaissance
Festival. I believe
festival.
So, yeah.
Well, what about tonight? So you're not going to eat tonight?
Oh, I will, and I just don't know what it'll be.
I don't either. But it'll be good. I'm sure it'll be good.
Something healthy.
Very, very good. I had turkey cutlets, skinless turkey cutlets last night, and they were just ducky.
How was your anniversary, boy?
Oh, it was great.
What did you two crazy kids do for your 10th?
I got home. I called her and said if we needed anything, and she said no. Then she called back and we needed milk, so I bought milk. And then I went home, and I found out she wasn't going away this weekend, and she made hamburger helper, and we ate it. And then she watched something, and I watched something in the basement, and then we went to bed.
Well, that is the most romantic story I have ever heard in my life.
Somebody call Harlequin right now.
That is just beautiful.
I might have, I might have exaggerated to make it sound more romantic than it was.
That is beautiful.
But, going out of here last night, we all had the same thought. Fish sticks burned on one side. And those weren't there. It was the hamburger helper and the kind that I like.
Well, there you go. What kind do you like?
Cheeseburger macaroni.
Good and good for you.
I can eat it all. I can eat it always.
Really?
It's great.
So does she put more than a pound of hamburger in there?
I don't know. Whatever she does is perfect. And it's perfect every time.
Hamburger helper. Well, you know what always bothered me about hamburger helper? He doesn't have normal hands.
Oh, the glove guy?
The glove guy's got like three fingers, four fingers.
Homer Simpson hand. Homer Simpson
hand. Very disturbing, It's like hamburger helper. At least put the normal amount of fingers on
it. His name is Dennis.
Don't hold on this bulletin.
It's Friday the 13th.
Just in.
I know it's going to be scary.
We're ready for our big spooktacular.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get this thing set up right now.
Okay. Very excited.
Because I want to tell you something. This is a... It's a well-thought-out machine of radio that you're watching happen right here.
Uh-huh.
Watch how seamlessly we go to Friday the 13th fun.
Say it again so Joe knows it's
hey,
time.
Hey, Joe. Joe, it's time.
He was motionless back there, wasn't he?
It's Friday the 13th.
Hey, John, what was he looking at on the web?
I was not paying attention.
Joe, what were you looking at on the web, son?
A townhouse in our cul-de-sac sold this week after being on the market for 3 months. I was trying to figure out how much it went for.
Okay. All right, good. Well, get outside and do your Friday the 13th, I believe.
Very scary, kids.
Joe.
Ow!
We'll have that price for you later in the show, by the way.
Scared, kids?
Yeah, that'll be on the web.
Oh, wasn't that scary?
Huh?
Scary, kids?
No.
Scared?
I believe the wireless microphones are turned on.
Right. Joe is outside the station now.
Yeah, I'm outside.
Outside our studios.
Hi, Super Dave.
Hi, Mike.
On Old Mother Hubbard Drive in classic Rockville, Maryland.
It's my favorite impression that Joe does.
Joe is now out there with, I believe, a dozen mirrors.
Oh, yes. That's bad luck, you know.
And Joe will be tempting fate and tempting the gods by breaking mirrors.
No, it won't be bad luck for me because I believe in Jesus.
It's Friday the 13th.
Thank you, Super Dave.
Kids.
You're welcome, Mike. Hey, join me at Hooters. All right, I got me some glass here.
Oh, now, would this qualify, Don, as our Friday the 13th October stunt?
Yeah, this is just our Friday the 13th stunt.
Am I doing them all at once or just one?
No, one at a time, please. We want you to get as much bad luck as possible.
That's one.
One. Here we go.
That's two.
And Joe, why don't you say something like, screw the gods the next time you throw one?
Screw the gods!
That's three.
And the Catholics.
Oh, dear.
All right, Bill.
And the Jesuits. Whoever they are. And the Indians.
He's getting some bad karma.
I like it when you're riffing. Go ahead, Joe. Who else? Who don't you like, Joe?
You know.
CBS Management. Oh, Rob broke one for that one, too.
What number are we at? You lose track?
Well, we have four left.
It's Friday the 13th.
I think I have a piece of glass in my ankle, too.
I thought you had 12.
I know. We've been busting them.
I know. It's going to be scary.
It's going to be scary. Oh!
Can you toss one up in the air and let it land?
I guess so.
Yeah, give us a three count on that one.
One, two, three.
Hey, much better. Nice.
That one actually landed on the microphone.
Who else don't I like?
How about one from Michael Hughes? I know you said management.
Oh, yes, well, Michael Hughes! And the Sports Junkies!
Oh, hey, Joe.
Joe, what are you doing? You
idiot.
Well, he used to work for them, I
know. Well, now that is, you know, on behalf of our show.
I take it back. They're great.
Shut up, you idiot.
Are you out of mirrors yet?
No, I got one left.
All right, listen, if the Junkies kill you on Monday, as they should, let them know that that was not... Joe's off the script here.
Oh, I know. Oh, they know that.
All right, you have one last little prayer, Joe, for the Catholics.
Money. Well, who's your favorite Junkie?
They're all great equally.
Pick your favorite.
And then break a glass.
Eric Pickle!
Oh.
Now that's a surprise.
That is a surprise.
That's mean.
That is mean.
That's just
no,
mean.
No, it's not.
I think we all know the correct answer is J.P. Flame.
John Paul Flame. We're just having a little fun, folks.
Well, we're all done out here.
Boy, you really went through those mirrors quick.
That was quick.
Yeah, that's good.
It's Friday the 13th.
Do you feel unlucky?
No.
Hold on. He's got his safety goggles.
I pressed the wrong button.
You know, I think that's a good look for you.
Thank you.
You listen to Ziggy.
I feel protected.
Classic rock. Laser 96.
I know it's going to be scary.
Take a look at your guy over there.
Hi, Joe.
Howdy.
Joe, why are you wearing safety goggles?
Because I want to be safe.
Now, why did you say that about the Junkies? That really was not nice and not called for.
You asked me about somebody I don't like.
He still harbors feelings.
Joe, let it go, Joe.
What have they done for you lately?
It's been years. Let it go. Well, this is awkward silence.
Yes,
right
it
now.
Is.
Very awkward silence.
Yes. 84 years of bad luck.
That's what it adds up to?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Thanks, Joe.
Good day.
Thank you, Joe.
Bye-bye.
There he goes.
There he is, the damn dummy. He's the damnest dummiest of all the damn dummies, isn't he?
He is.
He truly is.
He's Joe Ardinger.
Doughy-headed guy wouldn't hold a grudge.
You would think that maybe a shard of glass would like plunge into that skull.
It's Friday the 13th.
Go right into his cerebral cortex.
All right, well, there's your big stunt. There it is.
That's it. Yeah, I thought it was fabulous.
We laughed in the face of
Let's
bad
get
luck.
That right out on YouTube.
Fantastic.
Let's get that right out there.
Next year, pyrotechnics.
YouTube. I know we got a break. I just want to tell you what is disappointing about YouTube.
What's that?
Is that I'm amazed now how many tapes there are of videos where nothing happens.
Yeah, right. A lot of crap. And you know, and especially highly rated. You know, I go by those stars.
For instance.
And you think it's going to be good, and it's garbage.
For instance, today I put in, somebody sent me an email and said, key in a tow truck in the snow.
Okay.
So I go to a tow truck in the snow, and it's a guy who's got his mid-sized Corolla stuck in the snow,
right.
And the guy puts a big chain on the back of it,
right.
And they're gonna pull him out of this ditch,
right.
And the guy's inside his car, and he's gunning it in reverse, and they're pulling, and all of a sudden the guy in the car says, "Hold on, stop!" But the guy in the tow truck doesn't,
right.
And just pulls the entire back end of the guy's car off.
Now that's worthwhile.
And he comes out, he starts screaming, "What did you do to my car?" And it's like, click, end of video. So I watched it like five times.
Right.
And then it says, "Are you interested in this? Here are more." So I go, fantastic.
Right.
And then the next one is a 3.5-minute video of some guy who's like doing a ride-along in his tow truck. There's nothing worth watching.
He said, if
the guy's driving while he's holding the camera, and he's saying, "As you can see, it's kind of a clear day. Here's the button I turn the lights on. My lights are yellow and white up on top, just waiting for a call."
That's it.
Yeah, and it was... Wow.
You know, I had a similar thing where...
3.5 minutes of that.
There was a depth charge. It said a great explosion.
Ah.
So it says great explosion, so I pop on it. And it really is. It's a depth charge off the back of a destroyer, and you see this amazing explosion. And then they have another thing underneath it that says another great explosion. And the other great explosion is a kid that takes a little plank and floats it out into a pond with a firecracker on it. And it goes off and there's nothing. And I look at this and I feel like a complete moron that I'm looking at this.
Doesn't that always say like 25,000 views and have like 4.5 stars?
There, do you know how many people are looking at this stupid ass firecracker on a plank on a pond? And it's got 4 stars. What is wrong with people?
What did you rate?
I rated it 4 stars.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Loved every minute of it.
Sure.
Really loved every minute. It's another explosion that I don't know when it was taken, but it almost looked like a nuclear explosion because they've got a whole ship in the foreground, and you see this wall of explosion, and then the ship gets overcome by water.
Wow.
I like that one. Good. That was a good thing.
Here's another one that got 4 stars. So I think we discussed on the air those two Google nerds, the YouTube nerds. When they sold it to
there's three of them, you know,
to Google. Well, there's only two of them in a video that they made on YouTube. Like a minute and a half, they're in front of an Applebee's or something, and they're like just being goofy and explaining what happened.
They're excited.
Well, there are a bunch of people that are responding to this.
Good.
And there's one that I see, and it says, you know, this is hilarious. This is very funny, and it's just a guy. He kind of looks like David Cross, that comedian we've had on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a close-up of his face, like done with a webcam.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's supposed to be dry. But he's saying stuff like, I just want to say that this is going to be a great move for YouTube. And it's very exciting to be linked up with Google. And congratulations. And it goes on for 40 seconds. And I got to the end of it. It was like, what's that? And I go to the comments. And they're like, hilarious. Slayed me. Your sense of humor is fantastic. Now, you know, I think I'm not that subtle that you don't have to hit me over the head with it.
Well, you know what it is? You got to make your own fun on YouTube. You got to kind of surf your way around it and find what you like, because nobody, unlike regular television, I guess is one of the good things about it, you know, nobody's filtering out the crap. I mean, you really, that's the whole idea. They will eventually.
But it's the thing you said about all of the ratings, that this is one that had not only all the stars, but had all these people giving, the one or two lines saying, hilarious, side-splitting, you really stuck it to them. Uh-huh. You know, I'm watching this going, first, I don't see the funny part, and where can I see another guy get his bumper ripped off the back of his car?
Right.
That's what I want on YouTube.
I think probably if you surf it enough and you zero in what you like, you'll be able to find more of that. You know, bumper pull-offs.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I wanted to call right away because I know Don gets mad if people wait too long, but your station keeps cutting out. We can hear Don and Mike for a while, and then it blanks out for about 3 or 4 seconds, then they come back on.
First you're talking to us. What city are you calling from, friend?
I'm calling from Wichita, Kansas.
Okay, well, you should call the station in Kansas. Hold on, here is Kong.
We're in sunspot season.
What is
isn't that, you know, what they say every time?
Yeah, but we really are.
You
we really are.
This. What is sunspot season?
There are solar flares that are coming off the sun.
No, right. They're coming off of Bill O'Reilly's forehead.
And
right.
What say you? And it's actually, it can interfere with our satellite. It'll be going on for about another week or so. And
what
then
was
we'll
that? What the hell were you doing there? You having a coughing fit? What was that? You on the phone.
Hello?
Oh, I was clearing my throat. I'm sorry.
Really? God, that sounds like my dog when it gets...
What came out?
I swallowed it. I don't know.
Ah, yeah, yum, yum.
Well, did you understand any of Professor Rob's answer about sunspots?
Yeah.
There you are.
All right.
You should see my explanation on YouTube. 4.5 stars.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. This is an old friend of Don and Mike's. My name is Frank Felice.
Oh, hey, Frank, you're
Frank,
on the air.
Frank, how are you?
You're on the air.
Frank, you're on the air with us.
You son of a bitch.
You're kidding.
No.
You hear that song at the beginning of the show, Frank?
What was it?
Springtime for Hitler and Germany.
Frank is
big producer's fan, Frank Felice.
Frank is one of the old-time record guys that we used to know back in the day. You know, back in the good old days.
Ah, the wonderful days.
I'm just checking in with you guys. I heard you did a segment with Jim Elliot.
Yes, we did.
A while back, and Jim Payne called me and said, you know, the boys are talking about you.
Oh, yeah. No, you know what? We were talking about both you and Tommy. And I were talking, and what we'd like to do, and we were talking with Jim Elliot as well, see if there would be one day that everybody from the old days in radio could come by and we could all have a real honest discussion now that the statute of limitations has run out on all of us. About what really used to go on back in the day.
Tommy and I would love to do that.
Yeah. That would be fun, Frank.
And I think we've mentioned this before, but if you don't know, Frank is one of the guys, like our other friend Tommy and many other friends that we have, used to come around to radio stations and would work for record companies and would actually sit down and say, listen to this record. This is a hit record. You have to play it.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then what's the biggest record you ever worked, Frank? What's the biggest record in your career that you ever got on the radio?
You mean a single?
Single, yeah.
I think probably one of the most significant was Benny and the Jets with Elton John went mm-hmm. number one R&B.
Benny!
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Elton, when he had his last concert with us, we were down in Virginia Beach, and he was playing at Scope Auditorium. And he gave me a shout-out from the stage. He dedicated the song to me. And
whoa!
So it was very, very cool.
That had to be very cool.
Jerry Thompson was in the audience, and it was very cool.
Yeah, you know, I've spoken at length about this, about how radio used to be that it was a fraternity, really, with the record guys and the radio guys, and it was not against the rules to be friends with these guys.
That's exactly right.
Like I fucking hung up for a second.
No, I wouldn't hang up for you. I think I'm getting a call, but it doesn't matter.
And the thing is that it would not be uncommon if I was doing like the 6 to 10 p.m. shift at WPGC.
Right.
These guys would just be driving around, and they'd call up on the hotline and say,
right,
hey, can we come up and hang out tonight?
Right.
And it would be sure. And they would come by the station, and they were not pushing records.
No.
They would just come by, and, you know, we would do what we do. And we always had a good time.
It was a great time.
Always did. Well, Frank, if you are hold on. We'll get your info. We'll get your number. We'll get you and Tommy and James Tiberius Elliott. And it'll be a tell-all session.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. I'd love to do it.
And I think we should all tell stories about Jim Elliott.
We will. I've got a few. I have a few.
I know you do. All right. Hold on, Frank.
All right, thanks.
Hold on. Good talking to you.
Thank you.
He's one of the good guys. Well, that's
funniest guys, Tommy Schoberg and Frank Feliz, two record guys, funniest guys on an elevator you would ever meet. They did the Saturday Night Live ripoff where they got on and Tommy would scream seriously at the top of his lungs. It would be a full elevator, and he would go, "Get to know me!" and then he was also the pioneer of the one where he would stand on the elevator. As soon as the doors would close, he would go, "No talking." And it was just elevator fun.
Yeah.
And when you're at a DJ convention, elevator fun is big fun.
Yeah.
Lots of crowded elevators, lots of good times.
Those guys were great. I mean, I'm not kidding. It would be like, I know it sounds like American Graffiti, but really, it wouldn't be unusual. The hotline would ring at 7 o'clock. It'd be playing a record. It would be Frank or Tommy or Jerry and any one of these guys. And they'd say, are you hungry?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was not payola.
No.
It would just be, hey, I'm running around. Are you hungry? Do you want something?
Right.
Do you feel like having a drink tonight?
Sure.
Be like, sure, come on by.
Fun guys and funny guys, both of them. You know, they enjoyed life. They really did.
You know, and now the way the radio is, well, the super double secret probation stuff, the stuff that they were privy to, you know, they'd be in the studio. They would see the record rotations. They would see the format clock, all the formatics.
Yeah, but they weren't. It's not like they were, taking cameras and taking pictures.
Right.
They didn't care.
There was no. Nothing.
Wasn't done that way anyway, right?
No, it wasn't.
I mean, they wanted to get their records played. Make no mistake about that. But they felt that the best way to get their records played was to know people at the radio station.
Well, and really, when you got a guy like Frank, he would be a guy who would come in with maybe five records.
Mm-hmm.
I'd see him once a week.
Right.
He'd come in and he'd say, like, okay, I got five records. He'd be honest. He'd say, this is the one that they're really pushing on me. Mm-hmm. You know. I think it's mediocre at best, but this is what they're banging on me to get. But he'd say, this one is really the best one of the five.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this one and tell me what you think of it.
Right.
And it was very simple. And then he would slip me $100 and I would
say, that is a done deal.
Frank, my man.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
No, Frank and Tommy are like Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. They were inseparable of these
such nice guys, too. Such really genuinely nice guys.
Dwarfed scumbags. I mean,
they survived it. I mean, they really lasted longer than most people in that industry. And man, you want to talk about the guys that rose to the top in that business? You think radio's bad? The record business, the type of guys. It was almost like seriously. The more,
hold on.
Mike Bleeder.
Of course, we have an emergency.
Joe. Can't be blood.
What's
going to
be, Joe? Joe, what? Now, really, hold on, Joe. Come here now. What are you doing? We're in the middle of talking. Mike and I are having a chat about a dear friend. And you now, explain what you just did. Because you stand there, and this is the radio, for goodness sakes, Joe. Explain what you just did.
I was supposed to surprise you.
Whose idea was it?
It was mine. Of course.
Now what exactly were you doing?
I was cleaning up glass, and I cut myself.
Now, you didn't really cut yourself, did you?
No, I put ketchup packs on my hand.
That's something I've done that before.
Side gag.
I've done that before. I think we've all done that, haven't we? Haven't we all played with ketchup and pretended it was blood?
But have you ever walked in the middle of a live radio show and absolutely stopped the show with your side gag?
To the best of my knowledge, the answer would be no.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't have a monitor outside. Happy Friday the 13th.
There he is.
There's a phone screener.
Sorry, Don.
Get out of here.
There he goes.
Okay.
The conker made me joke. Get out of here. Jesus Christ.
So the bad luck begins.
I swear to God, you're retarded. He really is.
He can't effing work with me.
What can you even say to that? It's just staggering.
Yeah.
God, the junkies were right about him. They were so right about him.
Spot on.
God.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're in the middle of whatever that was, yeah. And Joe just walks in,
yeah,
holding his hand. You know, doesn't say, like, hey, Don and Mike, oh, my God, I cut my hand.
I kind of thought it was, you know, a prearranged thing that was going on. I have
no idea, Mike.
No idea.
Well, Robbie?
Were Frank and Tommy that funny?
Oh, no, not nearly.
I didn't think so.
Thank you, Joe.
Jesus.
Well, all right, now we're going to have to push start the show to get it started now.
Yeah,
now someone has to pop the clutch and push us down a hill.
We have to get this thing
get
going.
This goddamn thing.
Wow.
Going. All right, but we come back. Oh, I know we can do this. Everybody loves Mel Gibson because Mel Gibson hates Jews.
You know something? I think I may have been in my alcoholic stupor yesterday, kind of explaining away the drunken ramblings. After this morning, I have jumped firmly off the Mel Gibson bandwagon.
He goes on the Good Morning America with Diane Sawyer, and she, of course, does not hit him with hardball questions, but he digs himself in gigantic holes.
I tell you something, he doesn't look... There's something not right about him.
You know
and it's
is,
not
yeah.
the alcoholism. It's just there's yeah. something. There is something deep, dark down inside. And I think we all saw it. I think America saw it.
Yeah. You know, part of it is he had that look. Do you remember in that very first Lethal Weapon movie, the good one, where he's completely nuts? He would say, you never know about me because I could just go crazy.
And that's the real guy we saw.
I think so.
When she's saying to him, and you're going to hear these tapes in a second, because it's not a mea culpa. Among other things, she says...
Anything but a mea culpa.
She says to him, well, I said mea culpa, and of course, I love her. Because, she's a chick I used to know.
Sure.
She
I like Mara Sovino.
I like Mama... not Mama Mia, it would be Mama...
Mama Mea.
Mama Mea.
Mama Mea.
The musical. She says, you said the Jews were the cause of all wars in the world. Mm-hmm. And he says, and you got to hear the tape, he starts out by saying, I didn't mean that. And then he says, well, they do have a...
They're not without blame.
Yeah.
Something like that, right?
Yeah, that was exactly it. They are not without blame. And then he says, it takes two to tango.
These things are not... This is not what he's supposed to be saying.
No.
If he's trying to heal... No. He's not doing a good job.
Kicking this guy.
You know, really. But the fact is, I think you're seeing the real deal. You're seeing what he's all about.
Well, and if you didn't see him on Good Morning America, these tapes are pretty incredible.
Oh, God.
That, you know,
he's just weird, man.
He had to get done with that, and his publicist had to call him up and say, you absolutely are the stupidest man on the face of the earth.
He's a dope. I think he really is a dope anyway you slice it.
We gave you the dumbest anchor in the world to give you the biggest softball questions, mm-hmm. and... What did you say about the Jews again?
I'll tell you, takes two to tango. That was really bad what I said, but I mean, they're not without blame. Let me rephrase that. This came from a dark place. It was the ramblings of a drunkard. You moron.
God. And one thing that we didn't hear yesterday was when I heard it today online, where he was talking about, it was in yesterday's interview, about his mugshot. That when he was in the police station, he remembered how bad Nick Nolte looked, so he wanted to make sure that he looked good in his mugshot.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
And okay, then the whole thing about, popping off a couple of tall ones before he told the kids.
Yeah.
Just a lot of man. I think he might still be drunk.
Good spin control. So we'll hear some Mel Gibson tapes. They are just beyond great. What are you doing?
I'm looking at the... It's just a weird light coming through.
Yeah,
here.
It's like, it's something I can't...
I was just looking at the window.
Again, now, something is happening that's nonverbal.
There's a light coming in through the window,
the
and I was
sun
looking...
Came
that's called the sun.
Yeah, I know. I was looking at the dust in between the window. It's a very dirty place that we work in sometimes. It's very noticeable.
All right, Mr. Glass Half Full.
Yeah, that's me.
If you ever want to go back to the real clean place at 10800 Main Street,
oh, no,
let,
no,
me,
no.
Let me know.
No, no.
And besides, it's Buzz's room. Our room is clean as hell.
Just, you know, suddenly we were talking about Mel Gibson, and then the light came through as though God was reaching through here.
No longer
very strange light. Light that came in here.
Well, Buzz normally has his shades pulled down, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that it?
Depending on the weather, yes.
And the bright sunshine mm-hmm. just came through.
Yes.
You're right, Mike. His room is really dirty.
But it's
the
room is clean.
The dirt is, is it between the panes of glass?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not my
so they
room
can't
or
get
your
at
room,
that, right?
It's the demilitarized zone in between.
What do they say about dust? It's mostly dead skin.
That's right.
Yeah.
That'll gross you out.
No, but our room is much cleaner than his.
Very much so.
I disagree.
You know, when they come by once a week, they don't even clean his room.
Don't have to.
We tell them to.
It's already
sparkling. We tell them to, and then they go by and, yeah. No, that's the truth. Buzz cleans his office and his newsroom like it is his own room.
That's right.
He's a neat freak.
What the cleaning crew does is every Wednesday they take all the dirt out of the air studio and put it in Buzz's room. He likes that.
He does.
You're not like me and Mike. You're like pigs like me and Mike. I come in the studio, today, and every piece of garbage and trash that had been thrown on the floor, my cigar butt,
from yesterday.
Everything, all the newspaper, everything is still exactly where it was.
You want to see neat, though?
Yeah.
You go back to the old Joe Ardinger workstation.
Oh, he stacks his trash.
That is special. That's what I call the special place around here.
I bet if you ran back right there, you would see a pile of empty ketchup.
No, he's actually growing spinach back there.
It's Friday the 13th.
Scared kids?
Scary.
All right, we got the Mel Gibson thing. Oh, also today we've got the lady, 65, who's running for a Wisconsin state office.
She's a chick.
Based totally on the fact that she had sex with Paul Hornung.
Whore!
And other members of your Green Bay Packers. So we've got a big show today. Please stay there. We'll be my God. Do we deliver? Look at this.
Yeah, I know.
Do we deliver?
Mm-hmm. We should break.
You're a great producer.
We run long when we get distracted.
I blame Mr. Felice.
We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, hi there.
Get ready for some hot fun. This Wednesday, the Don and Mike Reno-style show returns to Hooters of Rockville, 1471 Rockville Pike. Come enjoy the scenery as you feast your eyes on the tempting, beautiful, voluptuous figure of the entire Don and Mike crew. Delicious Don, mouth-watering Mike, audacious Bud, red-hot Rock, and John and Joe, your joy boy. The fun starts at 8 p.m., so come out and revel in their sexiness. Oh, yeah, and the Hooters girls are pretty, too. Don and Mike at Hooters of Rockville. We'll see you there, baby. Buzz Burbank is certified clean. Medical documentation on file. Thank you.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, hold on a second.
Hey, Dino Dean.
What's the main thing we all need to do?
No, hold on.
Sounded like Sawyer to me.
It was. Hold on. Where's David Letterman?
Hot.
Virgin 15.
Tom Sawyer.
16. Hold on.
True that, peeps.
Katie Couric.
Oh,
my goodness.
Isn't that voice? Sounds like that voice has gotten bad. Oh, hold on. I'm Katie Couric.
Hold on. Here it is.
Suck on that, losers.
Now, wasn't that worth the wait?
That was.
Suck on that, losers.
That's David Letterman.
Mike Show. Yeah.
All of that for that.
The show with more comedy and less moonbed. Don and Mike.
Suck on that, losers.
Rob, that deserves a spot in the machine, I think. You think so?
Yeah, I think so. We'll make that promotion.
Gotta keep losing it here.
Suck on that, losers.
There it is.
Okay. David.
Here we go. Time for some tapes. Time for some fun. Oh, attention, attention. Hey, ladies. Next week on the show, it's happening. Next week will be a big week. Not only are we having the Reno Style Show, you just heard the thing about that.
Hello.
Next Wednesday night, big free show at Hooters of Rockville. We'd love to meet you. Also next week, the disproportionate breast contest.
Oh, yeah, baby.
The one boob bigger bonanza.
Right.
Is what we're calling it.
Did you say it's the one boob bigger bonanza?
One boob bigger bonanza.
Bingo.
And gals, if you are interested, if you have one boob bigger than the other.
Even if it's just a little bit.
You'll want to bring your boobs down to our studios next week. You can do it topless. You can do it with a bikini top on. We'll measure. And,
right.
The girl who has one bigger than the other, with the most disproportionate size.
And it has to be natural.
Walks away with $500. Yes.
Because it really can't be, you know, you could be augmented and it
although,
should be a bad. Well, would we accept a bad, like, augmentation that may. You know, here's the deal. What I know about the. If you have one that's bigger than the other one and they augment them, sometimes they remain bigger.
How about
right?
this? No, how about this?
Yeah.
If we live, I love talking in a fantasy world like we're going to have millions of women calling us right away from this.
They're going to be knocking the door down.
But if women who have had bad boob jobs want to compete, they should be in their own separate category.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
It would be great to have enough women to have boob jobs with one bigger than another and then just God's creation.
Exactly. We'll have a natural and an unnatural category.
Yeah.
What's better during the month of October than something unnatural?
The Tara Reid trophy.
Yeah. She's man, have you seen any pictures of her on the web? There are some shots of her boobage.
She has, and they always seem to look a little different.
That's yeah, the worst.
Like rearranged or something.
So, ladies, that's next week.
Shifting.
Please know we're going to do this on the radio, not at our Las Vegas-style show.
Like right. The San Andreas Fault, constantly shifting.
So we will pick one day that is convenient for everybody. Ladies, if you're interested, either call us or send us an email. We're playing for $500 in cash. Blah, blah, blah. We respect your privacy, etc.
Right.
Before we hear the Mel Gibson tapes, Mike, on our website today, on DonandMikeWebsite.com, as you know, we are heard throughout pockets of America.
Right.
And one of our biggest cities is Sacramento, California, where they have the greatest governor of all time.
Yes.
I know. Right, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Like you said.
And we like doing anything we can to help his career. And we found a picture. I'm going to be very careful how I describe this picture. You're going to
yes.
have to go to the website to see it. It's Arnold back in the day, and he's surrounded by he's sitting at a table, and he's surrounded by three men and two women. One of the women is sitting in his lap. She is lifting up her leg. He is holding her right boot. She's wearing a thigh-high boot in his hand, and she's not wearing any underpants. And let me just, I count, I never knew this about Arnold.
Well,
I only count four fingers.
Like the hamburger helper gun.
Okay? Take a good look, Mike.
Say no more.
This has not been photoshopped in any way. And look in the upper right-hand corner for the magnified version.
Close up.
We call it Arnold Gives the Finger.
Certainly looks interesting, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yep. Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
1982, I think.
Yeah, what is this?
82, wow. 84, right in there.
We got this from Radar Online today.
Fascinating photo.
Taken in the early 80s. Arnold Schwarzenegger in a restaurant. In his arms is one of the women whose leg is lifted. One of the governor's hands is covering her daisy. And one of his fingers is not visible.
Yeah. Draw your own conclusions.
Apparently directed inward.
You know what I like about this picture the best?
Everything.
No, if you really want a little tip in, note the guy in the right foreground of the picture. He is really checking things out.
Yeah, enjoying it.
You see that? That's the clincher for me right
see,
there.
But also, you do have just the pure, young, stupid Arnold. Yeah.
I'm enjoying myself. Yeah. Look what I'm doing. Take the picture while my hand is down here. Great.
The black tape over the eyes is a nice touch.
Send me the copies.
Ooh.
Yes. We also had to black out the eye, or I guess this website had to black out the eyes of the other people in the picture.
Right. So, weird group. They're all bald guys.
That's on our website.
Wow.
Let's go, Arnold. Vote early, vote often.
Thank you, Arnold.
Mel Gibson. Here we go.
Yeah.
All right. Here are the tapes.
Another kooky movie guy.
Here are the tapes from today's Good Morning America. This is the worst. Out of all of the celebrities who have screwed up and gone on TV for repentance, this is the worst I've ever seen.
This strikes me as a guy that can't do repentance because he doesn't want to. He can't do remorse. He doesn't seem to really want to do it. I don't know. Or he's nuts. There's a lot at play here, but it's not. None of it really works for Mel Gibson.
Okay, here he is about how he is religious.
As everyone knows, Mel Gibson is devoutly religious, which is what inspired him to make The Passion of the Christ. His church is a Catholic splinter group called Traditionalist Catholics, who feel the modern Catholic Church has abandoned the real faith. His father, 88-year-old Hutton Gibson, is well known for his writings attacking the Vatican. The Traditionalist Church believes in the Latin Mass and liturgy.
Okay, shut up. Hold on, where's some of Mel Gibson? Oh, here he is.
Hutton Gibson. Doesn't that sound like something crazy?
Takes two to tango. Here's some good Mel Gibson.
Now, maybe it was just that very day that Lebanon and Israel were at it.
All right, what he's talking about is when he said to the officer, Jews start all wars.
He's saying that the reason was that the...
maybe it was that particular day because that's when the Hezbollah, you know, Israel conflict was going on. So he's saying
it was in the 17th day of the conflict.
Okay.
The 17th day.
Now, maybe it was just that very day that Lebanon and Israel were at it. No.
It was the 17th day of the raging war in Lebanon, and there were a lot of people worrying that the crisis was escalating out of control.
Since I was a kid, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, now in the new millennium, you can read of an ever-escalating kind of conflagration over there in the Middle East. I remember thinking when I was 20, man, that place is going to drag us all into the black hole, you know?
She is such a softballer. And when she comes out and she said, you know, at first when I watched it today, I said, she's asking for
this. No,
now I hear the presentation on just audio. She's setting it up for, you know, and many people thought that it was spinning out of control. No, we knew there was a war over there. We were watching it, but I don't think many people were, you know, occupied with the fact that this is going to be World War III. You heard it a little bit, but no.
Right. You are right. And he is himself digging this hole.
God, I mean, and when you hear him answer this, isn't this the same people that say, oh, it's the apocalypse?
Yeah, right, let's just wait. Here's some more.
Just the difficulty over there. And you start thinking, well, I ever see my grandchildren grow up, you know, what's going to become of the world? Who's going to press the button?
And also, and at this point, he's got the Nixon sweat happening on his upper lip.
Sure.
Really, he has beads of sweat.
And I don't think I've articulated this the right way, but I think what bothers me about Mel Gibson is that I think I'm listening to a guy that has a lot more to say when he's not on camera.
Uh-huh.
I'm listening to a guy that probably would put it a lot differently if there wasn't a Diane Sawyer interview.
And imagine that. You're getting this is the best version.
This is the sanitized version.
Yeah.
That's fear-related, okay? So, you know, you have your own fears about these things.
But there's a difference between saying that place is a tinderbox and the constellation of things happening there could take us all down, and saying the Jews are responsible for all the wars.
Now, right here.
That's the only, that's the toughest question she asked.
Now, if you're Mel Gibson, at that point, you say,
you're right.
That was maybe,
it's ridiculous.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever said.
I was out of my mind. It was stupid. It just, oh, God.
Here's his answer. Because, again, now her setup is, yes, all these bad things are happening there.
It's slow pitch softball. It's coming in, and he can hit it out of the park. Right.
But you said the Jews cause all the wars.
Now, here's your chance to apologize. He doesn't take the pitch.
The Jews are responsible.
Well, strictly speaking, that's not true, because it takes two to tango.
Wow. And he pauses.
Wow.
He pauses like 3 hours. He pauses, and you're looking at him. You're going, oh, my God. He's not saying I'm sorry.
Now, here we go. You want to go to another highlight?
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to go to the Jews are not blameless?
I didn't think it would be worse on audio. It's worse on audio. It really is.
The Jews are not blameless.
Right.
What are the Jews responsible for?
What are they responsible for? I think that they're not blameless in the conflict. There's been aggression and retaliation and aggression. It's just part of being in conflict and being at war. So they're not blameless. Of course they're not. Oh.
You know what's amazing? And this speaks to his old man.
Because all you Jews aren't standing out in the street right now burning his movie.
This is what it speaks to. And I really do think it comes from, because they talk about the father, and father's one of these guys that said the Holocaust never happened.
Right.
And, you know, when he's saying, well, they're not blameless, you know, you're kind of forgetting the whole history.
Right.
And he doesn't make any mention of that. I mean, I was amazed.
And then when you're loaded, you know, the balance of how you see things, it comes out the wrong way.
Right. Now here's another tactical error. You're going to hear Mel Gibson in this cut describe how He is so put upon because he made the Passion of the Christ.
Right.
And who, the Jews gave him a really hard time about that.
Yep, yep.
Another brilliant move.
He's not apologizing. He's not totally accepting responsibility.
No.
He's kind of explaining that they gave him a hard time with Passion of the Christ.
Here's why, one reason he doesn't like Jews.
Yeah.
And the film came out, the truth was released, and you could have heard a pin drop.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, his film was released. You could have heard a pin drop.
The film came out, it was released, and you could have heard a pin drop, you know. Even the crickets weren't chirping. But the other thing I never heard was one single word of apology. I thought I dealt with that stuff.
So he wants Jews to apologize to him.
Wow. For criticizing
his movie.
He claims criticizing his movie without seeing it. Thinking that the movie was anti-Semitic.
So he's on apologizing.
That's what he's mad about.
He's apologizing for saying all this stuff about Jews. And in the same interview,
he's saying, I probably did that because I was upset.
And he says they should apologize to him.
Forgive me, but the human heart's a funny thing. Sometimes you can bear the scars of resentment. And it'll come out, you know, when you're overwrought and you take a few drinks. So,
is there hate in your heart? Is there anger in your heart?
There was anger from that, I think, because I felt that I was unjustly treated. My resentment stemmed from certain individuals treating me in a certain way.
Okay, you know, what Jews pissed you off, Mel?
That's the, you played the one where he was talking about, you could have heard a pin drop. He said that first.
Yeah.
Because he was talking about the, you know, he was talking about the people that were slamming his movie, Passion of the Christ.
This is the worst screw up ever by a celebrity coming back and trying to make things right.
This is a guy,
it's,
I think,
so
that
great.
I really do believe now. My belief. After, and, you know, she says that at the end. You'll have to formulate your own opinions. My opinion watching this is that this guy has a lot of deep, dark thoughts that he's not sharing with the
American. But we ask about those people he thought should apologize to him. Can they now argue they were right about what he is inside?
Good question.
Can you say anti-Semitic things and not be anti-Semitic? Can you say intolerant things and not be an intolerant person?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
Wow.
Again, wow. Who prepped him for this? Super Dave?
Because one changes from day to day, and there are different forces exercised on you that may or may not. And people every day say things they don't mean.
Hello, talking in circles says what?
And things they don't feel.
The passing blank.
They may feel them temporarily. I mean, we're all broken.
We're all broken. There is not one inch of personal responsibility in this guy. I mean, you know, you look at history. I think history teaches us more than anything else that the guys that come out and say, man, I was an asshat.
Right.
I did it. I'm sorry.
Yes, and it's over, but instead he's doing this. Here's the thing about America. We love to build up. We love to tear down. And we love when you climb back up again. You know what? Clinton's legacy is really going to be probably all the crap that he did overseas or our financial situation.
Right.
I mean, the Monica thing, even now, 10 years later, it's like, all right, yeah, he got a BJ from Monica.
But he's a great example of it, too.
But
if he had come out and gone, yeah, listen, I'm a jerk. Let me tell you what I did. I ask your forgiveness. It would have been a totally different scenario for him.
But once he did wise up to that, and there was a point, I think, after he was out of office, where he made the rounds on this, and then he did come through and say, you know what, well, I really screwed up.
And after that, that's when he started going back up again.
Now, nobody thinks of him as a guy who got DNA on Monica Lewinsky's dress, right?
Right, exactly.
I mean, we think of him as, George.
I think you're absolutely right. I think, really, in America, what we hate more than anything else is somebody that doesn't admit when they've screwed up. Because once they do that, then he can start, you know, feeling sympathy for him again.
In the last 2 days, we've heard him blame his fear of the Holocaust. We've heard him blame his hurt feelings for the Jews not liking his movie.
You mean his fear of the Holocaust over in Israel?
Right. And his fear of alcohol, and blaming the alcohol as well. Blaming everybody except himself.
He was also under a lot of pressure.
Right? That's right, he blamed the pressure.
And the easiest thing is you just sit there and you say, I screwed up. I don't hate Jews.
You know, I listened to this thing so intently, and what he's talking about being overwrought, because that particular day, he had gone to a screening.
Screening, yeah.
And went to a movie.
And a restaurant.
in a restaurant.
What are the Jews responsible for?
What are they responsible for?
How about, you know, great entertainment? That'd be my answer.
It's always been your answer.
Great entertainment.
I think that they're not blameless in the conflict. There's
I would answer that question a different way.
Yeah.
I would pause.
Aggression.
I would pause for dramatic effect. What are the Jews responsible
Mike,
for?
Mike, what are the Jews responsible for?
I pause. Dramatic pause. Take a deep breath. Alan Goodman.
So, something else eating at him that night. He says he has also realized he had been harboring an old resentment.
And the other thing, the other place it may have come from is, you know, as you
know,
a couple of years ago, I released the film The Passion. Now, even before anyone saw a frame of film, for an entire year, I was subjected to a pretty brutal sort of public beating. And
anybody remember that brutal public beating?
You know, I believe the film had been, like, shown to some people before people started bitching about it.
Or concerned.
Didn't that help, like, sell tickets and get interest going?
But you see, with a movie, what he doesn't mention, with a movie, you have scripts that are seen. You have people that are aware of content. You know that his angle, what his angle. He releases that. He's got a particular doctrine that he believes in. You know, I mean, this.
During the course of that, I think I probably had my rights violated in many different ways as an American.
Okay. How so?
Denial, man.
Wow. How so? How'd you have your rights violated?
Total denial.
Yeah, complete.
As an artist, as a Christian, as.
Jerk off.
A human being.
Wow. You know?
It was the movie that became a kind of Rorschach test.
Yeah, the subtitles. That's why I never dug that movie. You know, come on. Speak American. I know Jewish people, Christian people, all people agree. What we want in our movies is dialogue we can understand.
Absolutely. Non-denominational.
Yeah. And there's only one exception to that rule, and that's the greatest war movie ever, Patton. When the Krauts speak German,
yes,
that is totally acceptable.
They need to. You need to have the subtitles.
Yes.
Adds credibility to their, I agree.
Yes, it
I
does.
I agree.
But that's the only case.
I agree. Thank you for that, because that's one of my favorite movies. And that, who else loved that movie? There was somebody you wrote down yesterday.
Elvis. Elvis loved that movie. Elvis loved that movie.
But how bad you want me to get, Jack? If I get any worse, the Johnson office won't pass it.
That's the best use of subtitles, I think, ever in an American-made movie.
Yeah. And
absolutely fantastic. Because you really feel like you're looking at German guys.
Yeah. Right.
Very cool.
Or if you understand German, you don't need
how in the name of God could Disney have contracted with Mel Gibson to make a movie about the Holocaust?
And the movie's still on. He's shopping it.
Yeah, Disney, that'll happen.
Disney has fallen out. I also noticed that HBO, for whatever reason, was running the movie Ransom today.
Oh.
I saw it on their high def channel,
right.
And I wonder if they pick up on that. Like, hey, look at Mel Gibson's hot again. Everyone's talking about him. And I found when I watched the movie, you know, unlike Tom Cruise, who I did not feel any bad feelings for jumping on a couch or being crazy or yelling at Brooke Shields or whatever. I liked his movie.
Right.
I watched the Mel Gibson movie Ransom today, and I saw him, and I was like, I look at my guy, I go, that prick.
Yeah.
Really?
And I'm going
to
look at
hard
up
to
until
get over.
I was probably, you know, taking a little bit softer line on the guy until today. And today I looked at him, and I'm like, Jesus, man, what is your deal? What is your problem? And, you know, I'll still look at the Mad Max movies, though. I'll still watch those if they're reruns.
You know,
movies are just too much fun.
Last night, did you see this morning when they were talking about the fact that he had been busted for drunk driving before?
Right.
They had a clip of him from Mad Max when he was very young, and he was driving that car in the desert as if that's the car that he was driving. Right? As if.
Might have been. Just like the guy with the hockey mask.
Hold on, Mike. Let's go to Jew line number one, where we have Michael Hoffman, our favorite Jew.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, guys. Listen, I just wanted to say, on behalf of the entire Jewish community, I accept Mel Gibson's apology, and I do want to let you all know that since we do control the world, I am now empowered to give you guys anything you want. Just name it.
Hey, fantastic. What a deal, Michael.
Well, what would you like?
$1 million.
Done.
Thank you.
Transfer tomorrow. And Don, what would you like?
I would like the return of the McDLT, where the hot side is kept hot and the cold side is kept cold.
Not a problem. I'll bring it to you for Hanukkah. And most importantly, what does Rob want from us Jews?
Ah, very good, Rob.
Rob, what do you want from the Jews?
Same thing. I always want delicious baked goods.
Delicious baked goods. Oh, that's your Hanukkah wish.
Michael, didn't that really on some level piss you off that he still is saying everybody's accountable, that Jesus Christ, what was he saying? Yeah, that.
Well, there's a Jewish expression in the Talmud. I don't remember the Hebrew exactly, but there's basically a Jewish expression which says, when you're drunk, you really let the inner feelings of your heart come out, and that's exactly what he was doing, and he was brought up in that tradition, and he's continuing it. What can I say?
You know, that's it right there, and I think that's the thing. He doesn't like to talk about it. That's the thing that he skirts. He doesn't talk about it, but Michael Hoffman's right. He was brought up in it, and I really believe that's where it comes from. He doesn't want to talk about his old man.
In Latin, it's and vino veritas, and wine there's
truth. Buzz, what would you like from the Jews?
Girls.
Okay, all right. Shalom, Michael. We'll see you later.
Right. Have a good Shabbat.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Well, bye-bye. We're his goys, and I don't mean like guys. I mean we're his...
We're his goys. Goy Patrol.
All right, we gotta hit a break. Thank you, Mel Gibson. When we come back, what's her name?
Sandy. Yeah.
And the office that she's running for is...
Secretary of State of Wisconsin.
And she's going to win, Don.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, she banged Paul Hornung.
That's what we want to talk about.
Yeah, so we'll have the newsmaker, really the lady we were talking about just a couple of days ago. When we come right
Number back. 4 Arbitron rated, the Don and Mike Show.
I think we can accomplish most anything if we're willing to pay the price. And the price of success is hard work. Hard work, dedication to the job at hand, and a determination that whether we win or lose, that we've applied the best of ourselves to the task at hand.
Yeah. Who is that man?
Lombardi. A certain magic still lingers in the very name. Speaks of duels in the snow and cold November night.
And banging Paul Hornung.
All right, let's go.
They use you as their muse, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
John Facenda, right? That's the name of that announcer?
John Facenda.
Facenda. What a great one.
Lady's name is Sandy Sullivan. Website is sandysullivan.org. As a lifelong Packers fan, you can imagine how excited I was the other day. I found the story. We talked about it, riffed about it for a little while. She's running for the Wisconsin Secretary of State office.
65 years old and apparently had some good times with the Packers.
She really got no professional experience. Let's talk to her now. Hello, Sandy.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Listen to you.
Wait a minute. I want to know which one of you jerks called me a whore.
Oh, it was a joke, Sandy.
It was just
a little joke.
Well, I was going to tell you the truth.
What?
Well, I don't think you guys can handle the truth.
Oh, baby, lay it on us.
What do you mean, you? I think you can handle the truth?
Yes, of course.
Well, okay, here it goes. This is the truth.
Yeah,
lay it on.
Yes, yeah, baby.
Okay. In the words of William Jefferson Clinton.
Yeah.
Are you listening carefully?
Yes, absolutely.
I never had sexual relations with that man.
Which one? Hornung?
That one.
Oh, come on.
It was a joke, you guys. It was a joke.
Oh, you really did have sex with him.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay.
All right, we love you now. That's good.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
We love you long time. Now, let me explain to you. I'm 48.
You got to tell Sandy about your life of Packerdom, how big a fan you are.
I'll give you the 30-second version.
Right? Okay.
Okay. Grew up in that area. Grandparents loved the Packers. Grew up with them. My first memory is my Uncle Jack actually crying when the Bears beat the Packers.
I have been a
lifelong Packers fan. Name my son Bart after Bart Starr. Later, because Bart Starr came and saw me when I was in the hospital when I was a kid. And later at the Super Bowl that the Packers won down in New Orleans, I got to go up to Bart Starr 35 years later and say, you don't remember me from a hole in the wall, but his wife did remember me, sat down, I had breakfast with him, and the next thing you know at home, I got a beautiful picture that's hanging up on my son's wall that says, to Bart, best wishes for a great life
fantastic.
From my man Bart Starr. So my love for the Packers is deep-seated.
Well, you know what he did for me.
You didn't bang him, did you?
No.
Okay.
No, Bart was really off-limits. I mean, really off-limits.
You're goddamn right he was, honey.
I got to tell you, you know, this is sort of a plug, but it's sandysullivan.org, and if you go on there, you see a picture of Bart and me together.
Yeah, now we got a call about that the other
day. He came all the way up from Alabama, and he did a radio commercial for me and took those pictures. And what a superman.
Now, I got to ask you right off, that obviously the main reason you're getting all this hype is because you have touted sex with some of the Packers here.
Yeah.
But the book is selling more than ever now. And what are your, first of all, most of the Packers are okay with this book? Or?
Well, yeah, Paul Hornung wrote the foreword. And
after he knew the content of the book?
Sure, absolutely. And all those fellows, you know, we've been friends for 45 years.
All those fellows.
Yeah, well, we're all buddies, you know. And, for example, Fuzzy Thurston just wrote his memoirs, and it is...
Fuzzy Thurston, my great
Fuzzy
offensive lineman.
Well, let me ask
you. No, he wasn't. He's the great left guard of the Lombardi Packers.
I said he's an offensive lineman.
He should be, I know, but he should be in the Hall of Fame. And
why do they call him Fuzzy?
Because his name is Fred, and I guess we just called him Fuzzy. Fuzzy. And but anyhow, Fuzzy wrote a book called It's a Wonderful World, and he's taking off time of his book tour next week to go into northern Wisconsin and campaign for me.
Well, how are you doing in the polls, Sandy?
What?
How you doing? How you doing in the race?
I don't know. We've got to find out when the election takes place.
Well, no, I mean, you obviously, you're a candidate. You do polling.
Yeah, I know, but nobody in this state pays attention to the Secretary of State's race because the guy that's in there for 28 years has just dwindled it down to nothing.
Sandy, let me throw out some names and tell me if you ever maybe made out with them, petted with them.
Take your best shot. Okay.
Max McGee. You ever pet with him?
Oh, Max is my buddy. We used to do a lot of drinking together.
Okay. good.
Yeah?
Okay. How about Jim Taylor?
No, never.
Never with Jim Taylor?
No.
Anybody else? Anybody in the offensive line besides that? Well, hold on. Weren't you bagging Dan Curry?
I was engaged to Dan Curry.
Oh!
Yeah. Wow. I was engaged to him. So that made it okay, right? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh.
She's hard not to like, gentlemen.
What about the I'm going way to the back of the rack here, but what about Zeke Bukowski,
are you kidding?
The backup quarterback.
Zeke is holier than Bart.
Second coming of the Golden Boy. Did you ever bang Donnie Anderson?
I'm not talking while the flavor lasts.
Oh, wow.
But I got to tell you something. You know, I'm sure that a lot of people, you know, would like to call me all sorts of names, but Donnie Anderson has been my friend for years. He's the great All-American from Texas Tech, and he's coming up next Thursday to campaign for me.
They're campaigning for
you.
Well, Sandy, I'm just curious.
This guy, Donnie Anderson, was the guy that Lombardi had picked.
He was
another blonde guy, right?
$1 million baby. Yeah.
I might have had a football card with Donnie Anderson on it when I was a kid. I remember. But you're doing, I mean, you got a chance to knock this guy off or what?
I didn't think I did. Like 90 days ago, I had no name recognition. He says he's from this eminent family called La Follette in Wisconsin. Ah. But he's really not. And it'd be like me saying that I'm related to John L. Sullivan, you know?
And what about, Sandy, hold on, I have to ask, what about Vince? I'm guessing that you never had relations with Vince.
Oh no, but he was my boss for a little while. I worked for the Sentinel Sports Show here in Milwaukee for the Green Bay Packers to help Vincent sell season tickets because we couldn't give them away in 1961.
Did Coach Lombardi have a good, healthy appreciation for the fairer sex?
For the what?
For the fairer sex, for the opposite sex.
Oh, I believe he did. He was Italian, wasn't he?
Do you think that Coach Lombardi knew that you were dating some of his players?
Yeah, and you know, Paul introduced me to Vince, so certainly Vince knew enough about Paul to read between the lines, you know.
Listen, I'm not a gay man, but I'm a big Packers fan.
Yeah.
And I do have like a man crush on Paul Hornung because he was always the guy. I mean,
you know, somebody came up and kissed me the other day, and I said, "What was that for?" And he said, "I just want to kiss somebody who kissed Paul Hornung." Man, you got a problem, baby.
How was he? Will you assign a number to his performance?
Oh, yeah, scale of 1 to 10.
What, 1 to 10?
Come on, fellas. Ladies, don't tell. If you want to know this, you got to read my book.
I'll read your
book. I got to sell the book.
Sandy, can you give him a quarterback rating?
was a quarterback.
I know, but I mean, you always hear that on television.
Let me just tell you what Vince said to me. He said, Sandy, I want to tell you something. I got a quarterback, I got a halfback, I got a fullback, and you can come along and be our drawback. And I took him seriously.
But it's got to be, you know, win or lose, it sounds like you might be having the best time of your life.
Absolutely.
Next to sleeping
who
with Paul.
Who could believe this could happen? And you know what? It was my readers who asked me to run. Because I was going around to senior centers, and these sweet little old ladies and gentlemen would say, you got to run for politics because you tell the truth. You're forthright and honest, and you have courage. And that's what we need in our politicians and candidates. So, man, it was the senior citizens of Wisconsin who encouraged me.
Have you gotten a chance to debate the other guy?
No, he won't debate me.
I wouldn't either. No. I wouldn't go within 20 miles.
Thank you. I consider that a compliment.
That is a compliment.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Of the current Packers, could you imagine yourself, you know, rolling on top of, let's say, A.J. Hawk?
He just got married.
Right. How about Brett? How about Brett Favre?
Well, he's happily married, Mike.
If he was a single guy.
You know, I just want to say this. You know, Brett has got the same kind of heart that the guys of the 60s had. You know, and the heart of love for the game, love for the fans, love for Wisconsin. You know, he's got that kind of heart. Now, whether I would take a shot at him, I don't know. But
if he wasn't married, you would.
Yeah, I might.
Yeah,
I think
would.
I'm a little old for him. But you can't believe how many marriage proposals I've had in the last few weeks. You know?
Now, are you currently married, Sam?
No. My husband died in D.C. about 12 years ago.
Oh, he did. So you've been single since.
Yep, and he was an oral surgeon there. And actually, he did a lot of work for the Washington Redskins.
I bet you were an oral surgeon as well.
No, but anyhow, I lived in D.C. I know you guys. I lived in D.C. for 20 years.
So you've listened to the show.
Sure I have.
Oh, very good.
I knew what I was up against right away.
Oh, we love you. You're not up against anything here.
We're on your side, Sandy.
I know you are, and God love you for that. I appreciate it.
Now, really, I know you said that you don't have, like, posters and stuff, but what's your gut feeling on this? I mean, do you have a feeling that you really could win the
office? Well, you know, when I came out for this, I knew my own capabilities and talents, and I've really been, you know, working, not towards this, but I came home when my husband died to Wisconsin, raised a 12-year-old, lost my mother shortly thereafter. My dad had a stroke and said, would you take care of me in my home till I die? Well, I was so good at it, he lived 9 years. And during that period of time, I almost went nuts. So how I happened to write the book is I needed to write it to remember that I was once young and full of piss and vinegar and had a great life, and it helped me put the whole thing in perspective. And, you know, and I highly recommend that to anybody, is write down your memories, you know, and don't be afraid to share them. It's your life. We got one time around. You know, you love it, you live it, you learn it, and you pass it back.
Well, you know, it sounds to me like this comes very easy to you. I mean, not only writing the book, but obviously you handle yourself in the public forum. You know what you're doing. In between, you know, your youth and writing this book, I mean, and taking care of your family members, what did you do? Did you have anything that was close to politics as far as a line of work that you did?
No. As a matter of fact, I started the first sun tanning salons in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And then I ran my husband's dental clinic at 2424 Pennsylvania Avenue. And, you know, I did lots of crazy things, but I educated myself too. And when I also, while I was writing the book, I simultaneously got my MBA online.
Wow. Uh-huh.
And it was just to keep my brain going, you know?
What do the current Packers regime think about you running? Have you heard from the modern-day Packers?
No, and you know, they mostly live out of state, so I'm not going to fool around with them because they can't vote.
Oh. I bet you know, Sandy, you strike me as the kind, like, when you were married and the good doctor was you'd have a cocktail party or something, and all the guys in the neighborhood, I bet you got flirted with an awful lot, and you enjoyed every minute of it.
I probably did, but I had one of the greatest husbands that ever lived, and he was so proud of me, and he trusted me just completely, and there was this mutual, you know, complete trust between the two of us. So, and you see, I'd done all my running around and chasing, so I didn't have to cheat or anything, you know. And that's what my book's about, is get it all over with when you're young so you don't get the seven-year itch, you know.
Wow. Well, Sandy's website is sandysullivan.org. When is the election now?
The 7th of November.
Oh, so you know what? Maybe we'll check back with you, Sandy, before then.
I hope so. I'm really working hard at this now that I feel
like... Well, I really, you know, I mean, just when you talk about what's one of the biggest things when you're running for office is likability.
Right.
I mean, we've talked to you for 10 minutes, and, you know, I would say you probably have a shot at
this. You're in love with me. You know, this thing is so crazy. Do you know that it hit the London newspapers yesterday or the day before?
Yeah, Robbie
That's
was...
That's nuts.
Bobby was telling me what we were on MSNBC and CNN today.
Yeah, and then I was on Fox News today briefly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But, hey, before I hang up, I want to say hi to a couple people in D.C.
Sure.
I want to say hi to Bobby Lee and George O'Keefe and my buddies at the Prime Rib and at Duke's and the Club Down Under. I think it's still there. I haven't been back in years, but I love D.C. And, you know, it's just a great place, and I miss it.
Well, Jesus, I think really in a few years you're probably going to be here.
Could be.
Yeah, really. You know? No question.
So, well, you know what? I didn't dare start at the bottom of this thing because I'm too old to start at the bottom. So I started.
Yeah, Secretary of State's a nice stepping stone.
Speaking of bottom.
I'm too old to start at the bottom and work my way up.
Speaking of bottom, this would be the only question I would have. If I was a registered Wisconsin voter and a lifelong Packer fan, I would like, and I know you're a lady. I'm going to try to say this as delicately as I can.
Sure. Go ahead, shoot.
When you had relations with the golden boy, the great Paul Hornung.
Paul Hornung.
Now?
No. Back in the 60s, when you did.
Yeah.
Please don't tell me that you did it the bad way.
That what?
You know.
I've been out of circulation.
We can do this.
I call it an exit, not an entrance.
Oh, now, come on, you guys. Ladies never tell things like that.
Oh, that means you did it.
Yeah,
that means you
tell.
Did it like that.
You guys have to read the book.
We have to read the book. Well, you know what? We'll have our researchers go through the book and find out.
I bet it doesn't say.
That's not like the first thing. That's like, you know, that's like secondhand, you know what, you know, so.
So she just said no, she doesn't.
Oh, good for you.
So now you can stay in love with her.
That's the right answer,
Sandy.
Absolutely. Yeah, good. I'm glad to hear that.
The golden boy doesn't go there.
I'm glad I have your approval. It means so much to me.
You do. Well,
you know, I want to just say something, though, about the people of Wisconsin. There's an election coming up, and you know, a few people think I'm running for office to promote my book, and it was just the opposite. You know, I had the book, and then people who read it said you should run for public office. Right. But, you know, everybody's saying, oh, my God, what are the people of Wisconsin going to think when they hear about this book? And I just want to say something about them. The people of Wisconsin are smart, and they don't get enough credit. They don't get enough credit. Honest to God, they don't. And when they know the truth,
let's not go crazy.
They'll understand. They'll laugh
about
it
the
off.
People of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and they're going to go, you know, they know I'm the underdog, and they love underdogs, and they'll cheer for me because they know I'm a winner. And they love winners in Wisconsin because all of Wisconsin is a winner. Hey, take a look. You know, look at our football team. Look at what we've done. Look at our hockey team.
She's a ball of fire, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you still active sexually?
What?
Are you still active sexually?
I'm not telling you that. My God, I've already had 4 proposals. I don't want the phone to ring off the hook. You're going to crash my website.
I think that means yes.
Very good, Sandy.
God bless you guys. God bless you. Thanks. Have fun. Do
okay.
good.
Bye, Sandy.
You were terrific.
Bye,
Thank
Sandy.
You.
So you want to put her on hold, Rob?
Yeah, hold on.
Rob needs our producer needs to talk to you, Sandy. Hold on just a second.
You know why.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man.
Yeah. All right, well, good for the golden boy.
Wow. Yeah, and saw that picture, her current picture, in her day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lombardi. A certain magic still lingers in the very name.
We got a big game coming up this weekend against the 49ers.
You want to be our drawback?
Get me Sandy Sullivan on the phone. Hornung's under a lot of pressure this week.
Sandy, it's Vince Lombardi. Need you to come over to Hornung's Hotel. Come on. He's out of his mind with pressure.
Nothing with the butt, though.
Wow. Wow, wow,
She's
wow.
She's a real-life person. Maybe.
You know, jeez. I mean, I'd be right. If I was the current Wisconsin Secretary of State, I'd be a little nervous.
Yeah.
Holy Moses. Wow. Somebody ought to give her Mel Gibson's number. You know, how to deal with the media.
I wonder if she ever did with Kramer.
Jerry Kramer.
Jerry Kramer.
I just picture her sitting there with a lot of guys with crew cuts.
I got the whole offensive line here. Forrest, Greg, Fuzzy, Thurston, Jerry Kramer, Jim Ringo. Do them!
Here's your present, boys. I'm Vince Lombardi. It's climb you. On.
Who wants to ride the train all the way to Dallas?
All right. I told you I was taking you to the Sullivan Show. It's not Ed. It's her. Come on in, Sandy. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
She was fun.
Yeah.
She was a dynamo.
She was.
And she had that Wisconsin accent, too.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, there you go. Let me talk about the people in Wisconsin.
Especially when she started talking about it. I love the fact that whenever it's Brett Favre is mentioned, it's just Brett.
Right. Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Brett is like a throwback. He's like the way they used to be. Yeah. She would jump on top of him. Are you kidding?
And isn't that the type of person that actually terrifies regular politicians?
Yes, because she's real.
Very cool.
Okay, that's Sandy Sullivan.
Sandy Sullivan, all for sure.
Real person, we got a break. We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated, the Don and Mike Show.
She liked me. Even when I laugh so hard, I rip one. She laughs so hard, she rip one.
The Don and Mike Show.
Clap your hands, everybody. If you've got what it takes. Because I'm Curtis Blow, and I want you to know that these are the boys.
Hi, this is Robert the Mailman.
The cure for your priapism. The Don and Mike Show.
All right.
Yeah.
Look out,
Dad. Look out. Look out.
All right, this is the where you supply the match. The what, Rob?
Is this your weekend lift off?
Woo! You supply the mustard, we supply the ketchup. Because we're going to just catch up on 8,000 things from this week.
Very good.
First, fights.
Fights. Get a good education.
On Oprah. Thanks, Oprah. Monday's Oprah will feature Jennifer Aniston. I bring this up for a couple of reasons. First, Vice, she says that she never broke up with Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, I read that and I thought you might be a little disappointed.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard this, though. She shot down another tabloid rumor, and I had never heard this. Let me read this absolutely correctly. Jennifer Aniston said she has not gotten breast implants. She says that when she gains weight, it goes directly to her bosom.
God bless her.
Oh, baby.
You know.
Right there.
Can I just,
is that worth taking a plane trip to California this weekend?
I just take a moment out to
say. Oh, that's
say,
just great.
Beach towel, copper tone, and I'm not talking about getting a tan. That's all I need.
Do you know?
That's all I need. Just an empty room, a beach towel, some copper tone.
Right.
And this quote.
I will also tell women of America.
I can work it for an hour.
If you're sitting there and you're a single gal and you're looking for a man and you're anywhere where there are men around, use that line. Yeah. You use that line and you're going to have them hovering. Oh, whenever I gain a little bit of weight, it goes right to my boob.
Thank you.
Ooh, it doesn't with her.
She's the proof that it doesn't.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
All right. Also this week, now again, catch up. I'm just catching up. Mike, in an average week,
yes.
How many text messages does the average American send?
The average American?
Yeah, not you or me, the average American.
I'll say 10.
Buzz.
I'll say 5.
41. 41.
Oh, life is, it's official. Life has passed me by.
Who texts more, men or women?
Mike?
Women.
Yep, right. Next thing, again.
Glad I knew that because I felt pretty bad after that first one.
Let me see. This is something I had from a London tabloid this week.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Tom Cruise was watching his son Connor play football. I guess they mean soccer because this is from Britain.
Right.
At his school in London. This is the kid he adopted with Nicole Kidman. Tom Cruise, and they have pictures of this, so maybe it's not a total 100% made-up story. Tom Cruise spent the entire first period of the game engrossed in his BlackBerry. And there are all kinds of pictures of parents standing on the sidelines watching these kids play soccer, and he's standing by himself working the
BlackBerry. Not even watching his kid.
BlackBerry. Then the next photo has Tom Cruise looking very mad, and then it shows a picture of the scoreboard because it shows the team is losing 3-0. And the final picture is Tom walking onto the sidelines, pushing past the coach, and giving the team a pep talk.
Oh, God.
They ended up losing the game.
It's a little asshat montage.
Yeah. They ended up losing the game 11-0.
Sure. After the pep talk. Yeah. Scored about 10 more goals.
So it was 3-0. Now, hold on. Where is, okay, Andy Dick. God. Andy Dick is fantastic.
Rob, I'm surprised.
I will not clap for
I thought you used to applaud at Andy Dick.
Now, here's a quote from Andy Dick. Just because I've been with guys and I'm bisexual doesn't mean I'm a faggot.
Andy Dick.
Andy Dick says, I'm not even gay. Last year they said I have anal warts, which I never had.
Oh, good for you, Andy.
This year they say I have AIDS and I'm gay. I don't have AIDS and I'm not gay. No and no, but I've been with guys.
Okay, then.
That doesn't mean I'm gay.
I've been with guys when I got sloppy drunk.
Okay, Mike,
yes.
Next thing, this one is for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
For you, friend.
Yes.
There is a show in development at NBC that is going to be based on real court cases.
Okay.
The show is being called Bad Judge.
Mm-hmm.
The judge is your man, John Lovitz.
Oh, yes.
Now,
yes. A reality show?
Yes.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
It's fresh.
Fresh.
Subway, eat fresh.
Well, get out of my courtroom.
The difference between...
I'm laughing already.
The difference between this, like a Judge Joe Brown and Judge Judy, is that...
It makes no sense.
John Lovitz will not have to follow the rule of law.
That's spectacular.
For instance, in the pitch meeting that they had about this, it was reported in the Hollywood Reporter that someone could come up...
Bad judge.
It said, John could say to a plaintiff, clearly, you are right, but that other woman is hotter, and I am taking her side.
I just can't wait now. I can't wait for that to be on TV.
Yeah, I guess pretty soon.
Deep fresh.
All right, and then what else do I have? Oh, I got lists. God, I love lists, but sometimes I just carry them around with me, and they just...
They give you comfort, though, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I'm going to go through a couple of them real fast. The top 10 celebrities we're sick of.
Ah, good. I like that.
Now, I'm surprised Tom Cruise is not on this list.
I am, too.
He's been laying low.
You have, Donald Trump.
Yeah, definitely.
Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
The Olsen Twins. Nicole Richie.
The Olsen Twins have been out of this.
Lindsay Lohan.
Mm-hmm.
Pam Anderson. Federline. Anna Nicole Smith. Brittany. And Parasite Hilton.
Mm-hmm. That's the entire list?
Parasite Hilton, number one. Yeah. Here's another list.
They didn't get Chris Berman on there?
Here's another list.
Always.
The most trustworthy celebrities.
Okay.
And this is from Forbes magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the stars who, and a lot of them do commercials overseas because
right.
they want to keep their reputations here as actors.
Right.
But a lot of them whore themselves out overseas.
Okay.
But Forbes says these are the people
most trustworthy.
Sell products like you wouldn't believe.
All right.
Reese Witherspoon.
Yes, of course.
Perky, cutie little Reese.
Morgan Freeman.
Thank you, Don.
You could sell wine.
I could sell wine, and I could be an advertising agent for a radio station, because then I could sell time.
Now, what about this? Ron Howard. Who would buy anything from Ron Howard?
I would.
A hat.
I think he's very trustworthy.
Okay, next one. Ty Pennington. That tool from the
Good morning!
Yeah.
Good morning, stupid family!
Number six, Denzel. Washington.
Yeah, I love Denzel.
Then you have James Earl Jones, most trusted, number five. Then you have, thank you, Oprah, number four.
Oh, come on.
I don't trust her.
I don't trust Oprah either.
Number three, Michael J. Fox.
Ah.
That's kind of a shaky pick.
Hey, bada bing.
Number two is Rachel Ray. I don't know why all of a sudden she's the hottest goddamn thing in the world.
Because she's the flavor of the month. That's right, Oprah chose her.
And,
she was anointed by Oprah.
And stupid Tom Hanks is the most trustworthy celebrity.
That's it. James Woods isn't on the list?
He didn't. And neither did Christopher Walken.
Sizemore?
Not Tom Hanks.
No, Sizemore's not there?
Oh, Sizemore.
Well, that's ridiculous. And where's K-Fed?
Robert County?
Mel Gibson.
Notice
how quickly we have our jokes ready. You know what's great about those lists is the whole time you're reading that list, we're over here composing.
Mike?
Yes.
Oh, hold on. I had this also earlier this week. Oh, I see where I got this. Okay, hold on a second. Overweight middle-aged adults score poorly on tests of memory, attention, and learning ability.
No, they don't.
Much more so than their thinner peers do.
No, they don't.
A heavier weight in middle age means a higher risk of dementia later in life.
Hey, K-Fed. How about K-Fed? Oh, that Sandy Sullivan was great.
Yeah.
Let me see.
What does
in general,
when does middle age start? Does it start when you're 50? Is that what we describe as a...
For me...
It used to be early.
For me? Like, I get a special subcategory?
What was middle age for you?
Middle age for me is like when I got out of college. That's when I started becoming an old man. When I got out of college yesterday. When I went to my second Buddy Rich concert.
Okay, Mike, they talked to men between 32 and 62.
Oh, see, that's BS.
That's a pretty wide margin.
That's BS. But they describe middle age as between 40 and 55.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
Well, then we're there.
Between 40 and 55.
You're not there. Yeah, congratulations, Rob.
People with a high body mass index, BMI, and I think that's a dangerous name because it makes me think of something else.
BMI.
They have lower test scores than those with lower BMIs.
I'm working on it.
Younger, but
I'm doing the work. Do you feel like your memory's gotten better since you've lost weight?
What'd you say? When are we having the Packer lady on?
Middle age. Middle ages.
Oh, BMI.
Middle age.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Am I also the only one when I was a kid? I used to laugh hysterically when someone would say, like, that's an IBM computer. Because I would think right away, hey, IBM.
You know, I have to give you a props here because I never really got into those initials until
right.
I started making you laugh because they were used around my house quite regularly,
me too.
So to speak, as the real thing, you know. And the nice word, I gave you that with my mom, remember?
We used to say that too.
Nice BM.
Did you have a nice BM?
You know, oh, my stomach hurts. Well, you'll be better when you have a nice BM.
A nice BM.
It's funny.
BM is the best.
BM is the best.
Yeah, BM is better than Poopy or number
right.
two.
Whereas we called them Breaking Wind was called a bullfrog in my
See, now I didn't
That's
have that.
Quaint.
See, but again, coolie meant ass.
Coolie.
And wet thing was your penis. Does your
wow. tinkle was my...
Does your wet thing hurt?
Yeah.
You know, I used to get gassed that a lot when I was going through my... well, because I had to...
That's only when you come home from the priest. That was,
That's
does
right.
your wet thing hurt?
Say yes, and my coolie.
It doesn't hurt.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hi there. There you go. Someone's on the phone. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Fine.
Pardon?
Hello?
I heard you were doing fine.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm a physician from Maine. I wanted to comment about the BMI.
You're a physician from Maine?
Yeah.
Okay. What about BMI?
Well, the BMI is a combination of your weight and height, and they come up with a figure, and this depending on the score, it depends on your health risk.
Really?
Dumbner says what?
She said she's a physician.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Dumb doctor says what?
I forget.
No, I'm a good physician.
Are you a general practitioner?
Family practice.
Family practice. Are you hot?
Yeah.
Are you hot?
Oh, come on, you're a nurse. We all know.
Extremely. I swear to God.
Girls cannot be doctors.
Are you married?
I am married.
Oh.
Come on, girls can't be doctors.
Of course they can.
No, girls can't be doctors. Yeah, you're a nurse, honey. Be honest.
Honey, I am a doctor.
No, you're not a doctor. That'll be the day. That'll be the day. That'll be the day we have.
How'd you score doctors. On your MCATs?
How did I score my MCATs?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. I
love that. You know why you asked that? Because of the Socrates movie,
yeah,
right?
That's right. Meet the Parents.
Because I don't even know what the MCATs are either.
It's like the SATs for doctors.
Ask me any questions. Go ahead.
You're not a doctor. You're a secretary.
Rob, you're good at this. Come on. Or Buzz, you're even better at this. Ask her some kind of medical question.
Right.
Something that might just really, you know, bring her knowledge to
Hold
the
on.
Forefront.
Yanni, who is
Yanni, you got one?
Sick has got one.
Yanni's really got kidney stones.
Yanni.
Right?
Hospital.
Please describe a lithotripsy to us.
If you don't want me to be a doctor.
Hold on. Doctor.
Hold on.
Doctor,
hold on.
You've just been asked
okay.
a question.
Listen again.
Hello?
Please listen to John.
Johnny, is it a lithoscript? What is it?
What describe the process called, known as a lithotripsy.
Describe the process known as a lithotripsy.
That's when you blast a kidney stone in the ureter.
He just gave the thumbs
That's
up.
Correct.
You win.
It's
isn't pretty
that,
good. That's pretty
that
good.
Isn't that where they take the kidney stones out of your butt?
No.
That's the one that you... That's a different doctor.
Okay.
That's the BMI-tripsy.
Any other questions?
Boy, you aced that one, doctor.
Hey, John, didn't you have some of your kidney stones taken out through your butt?
Of course, all of them.
No, they don't. They don't go that way.
Oh, well, then I must need a new doctor.
What? Really? What, you really... hold on, you're looking at me seriously. Wait a minute, what's going on here? Did you really have them taken out that way?
Of course.
Yes, unless they come out
I have kidney stones 5 years ago. Mine
didn't come out from back there?
Mine didn't come out the butt, but only because with ultrasound, with mine...
Let's stop it. You were fooling me.
Play along.
You're supposed to be tricking, trying to trick the doctor. You're trying to trick me.
I was trying to do it.
I'm trying to get you like that time when a guy told us that his sister gave
the first successful anal birth.
That's right.
There's this guy. There's a woman Mike and I knew. Worked at our old radio station. And this is a bitch on wheels. And her brother was a friend of ours. And one day Mike and I were out having lunch. And we saw this guy. And he came over.
And her brother was a real slicky boy.
Yeah, but we had one thing in common.
Yep.
All three of us didn't like his sister. So he came over and sat down at our table. And he said, hey, how you cats doing? We're like, hey, how's your sister? And he said, oh, her? Christ, she just had a baby. And we're like, are you kidding? And he said, yeah, it was the world's first anal birth.
And we were such idiots. We were like, really?
Wow.
We thought there was some medical procedure they did. We were such complete idiots.
I remember.
Because he was completely dry about it.
And we didn't laugh. We're like,
oh, really?
Really?
Wow.
And I remember.
And then he walked away, and we're such morons. Then we started laughing like it really happened.
We sat there, so dumb. We sat there at this table having our coffee for maybe 10 minutes until we finally said, you know, it would be impossible to have a baby through your anal cavity.
Meanwhile, he's walking away going, those are the biggest idiots.
Those guys are so stupid. But we sat there like, really, how's she doing?
Right.
She's fine. How's the baby? Wow, that must have been tough. Okay, bye-bye.
So we're really nobody to quiz the doctor because she knew what a licorice tipsy was. Very good, doctor.
Oh, hold on. We've got a break. Has anyone seen, not that show, 30 Rock, what's the show?
30 Rock, the Tina Fey show.
What's the show that's on after that?
20 Good Years.
Right.
Right.
And that show has both Hank Kingsley.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Jeffrey Tambor and the other guy.
I believe his name is John Lithgow.
Right.
Yes.
Too bad you don't do one of your award-winning impressions of him, Mike.
I don't actually.
All right, we won't do that when we come back. Then, okay?
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Hasn't the night been great? Just us boys drinking beer, yelling like idiots, emitting various gases.
The Don and Mike Show.
There's John Lithgow.
Please remember to wake them and feed them a cherry pie. The Don and Mike Show.
Also, we got one more. Yeah, we got so many Chris Hansen tapes. Here's a good one.
I just hope this isn't all too good to be true. Hee hee.
Hee hee. And, also, the guy with the Streisand tickets, I just checked my voicemail at home.
Yes.
Did he call you again?
No, he called and he said he heard the beginning of the show and that they're holding the ticket for me and that I shouldn't be such a pussy and that there's a chance that if I go, that they're going to get backstage tonight.
Oh!
You should go.
So, I don't know.
Go.
We'll see. Then I'd have to go wearing what I'm wearing.
That's good.
Yeah, you're fine.
Johnny Faggot. You know what? Maybe John Lithgow.
Give the ticket to me.
Oh, no.
Please, give the ticket to me. I'd love to go.
Don't hit your head against the speaker. I'm so tall.
I'm so tall. I love your shirt. What a lovely shirt it is. Hello, boys.
What is
John Lithgow here again, emitting various gases. How are you?
Would you do your signature thing from those soup commercials?
Why settle when you can select?
Yeah.
I'm so delighted to be here. I'm so glad to be back on television. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. May I please go see Barbara? I think she's divine. I think Barbara Streisand is absolutely the most divine actress I've ever seen. I am John Lithgow. I'm an actor. Now, greetings, friends, Romans, countrymen. Lend me your Streisand tickets.
I was mentioning
I'd love to go. Greetings, Jeffrey Tambor says, hey.
You were on a new
show. A fag? Is that where you're going to go with me right away? I'm a fag.
No,
I'm not a fag.
You're on a new show.
I'm a skilled 20 Good Years on NBC. Wednesday night, NBC, just after that Tina Fey show. It's going to be a disaster.
Now, are you a fag?
My show will be successful.
Are you a fag?
No. I don't have to settle for that stereotype. I'm not a fag. I am an actor. I'm a skilled quality thespian. I am not gay. Not like Andy Dick. My name is Lithgow. Please treat me with the respect afforded to any actor that would walk into your studio.
I will treat you with respect.
I've not been this ebullient since I promoted Garp. But I was a woman.
Now in,
and
in,
I played a divine woman.
In the woman, in the world according to Garb.
Mr. Norman, how is your penis?
Wow.
Delightful. Oh, I'm so sympathetic. I've had stones. I, too, have had stones.
Really?
Bloody, horrible stones. Agony. Agony. Trying every day. Trying desperately to free myself from the pain. If I could reach inside my own thing and pull the stones out, I would have.
How are you? How's the new show going, faggot?
Wonderful. It's so good. Call me faggot. Call me queer. John Lithgow is here. Now I'm rhyming. 20 good years. Jeffrey Tambor is delicious. He's a delicious actor. He tastes like a delicious Toll House cookie. Do you know space smells like a burnt Toll House cookie?
No.
Yes, I heard that the other day.
Like
I read that in a magazine just the other day.
Outer space?
Space smells like burnt cookies.
Huh.
How wonderful is that? We could all float around and smell cookies. Isn't it wonderful? I'm Lithgow, an actor. I'm wearing a Speedo. Nothing else underneath.
Did you make enough money on that? Well, it was Third Rock from the Sun.
This is the best challenge. I'm talking, of course, 20 good years on NBC Wednesday night. This is the biggest challenge for me since Harry and the Hendersons. A marvelous show.
I forgot.
And of course, my Broadway work. You might have remembered me in The Sweet Smell of Success on Broadway. Please applaud. Yes, applaud. Applause. And the thing, I've always been so tall. I've been known in Hollywood circles as the gayest, tallest actor ever to speak a line on the stage.
Well,
Thank you.
You just referred to yourself again as gay.
I'm not. I'm playing the game. Don't you understand?
No. Don't you understand?
You ever hear when I go with that low register, too? I don't always speak high.
Sometimes you're not. You're not. What are you doing?
I played against Type in Footloose. I played a reverend.
Yes.
A very prim and proper reverend.
Right. You didn't like the rock and roll, did
and,
you?
And we mightn't forget terms of endearment. My famous line, well, you must be from New York. Did it well, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Well, you must be from New York. I got to stick my tongue in Deborah Winger's mouth.
Yeah, but
wasn't that fun?
That tastes like an ashtray.
A horrible shoe. A terrible old weather-beaten shoe with a football player's foot in it. A big, smelly, sweaty football. I hate football.
But it tastes like a dirty diaper?
A dirty, filthy diaper. She was foul. And I said, I can't work with her. I can't do love scenes. They said, just work on that one line in the supermarket.
What is it again?
Well, you must be from New York. See, I've overcome a speech impediment.
Really?
Lots of people don't realize that early in my career, I had a severe speech impediment that sounded something like this. And they'd say, we can't possibly cast Lithgow. He's got a lisp. Now, Lithgow has a lisp.
Are you often compared to, or do people often see you and think that you're maybe like John Malkovich? Because he's another
quirky actor
who has
I am not quirky. I am not. I am a skilled actor, and I play comedy in a broad way. That is why I've gotten the roles I've gotten. Third Rock from the Sun was a triumph, and you could never put Malkovich in that. He couldn't do it. He's too brooding. Too brooding. He's a brooding actor. You must be from New York.
Hey, what's his name?
I don't understand why they compare us. Just because we're bald, just because he's bald, I'm bald, I do comedy much better than Malkovich does comedy.
Yes.
He does dialects much better than I do. I saw him do that Russian thing in that poker movie with that pretty boy.
Mr. Lithgow?
Yes, I'm standing by. May I compliment you?
Yeah, I'm like...
Well, I think the shirt colors match perfectly with the sweater. I think it's great. It's orange. It's purple. It's a symphony of color. You look like a spirograph.
What's it like sucking D?
Now, you've offended me. Now, you know how tall I am. I'm 6'9". I could come over there right now and smite you down with my giant blonde fist. My doughy fist. I could smite you down. Don't compare me to Malkovich. Compare me to Bette Davis. Now, that was a lady.
Yes.
That was a broad. That was a big, bosomy broad.
Yeah.
Pita, pita, pita. As a matter of fact, I would be happy to stand here as John Lithgow and perform for you any of the lines of the great female actresses of the 1940s.
Hold on.
Bette Davis.
Hold on.
You know, pita, pita, pita.
Joan Crawford in
Thank you.
Joan Crawford in Mommy Dearest.
Don't
laugh with me, fellas. This isn't my first time at the rodeo. You all must be from New York. I'm having so much fun. This is just delightful. Would you like some Campbell's soup? I brought some in my pockets.
Now, why
they're lined with rubber.
How did you...
I'll reach in and get some tomato for each of you. That'd be fun.
How did you end up doing commercials for Campbell's soup?
They paid me an incredible amount of money, and I said, I will do it if I can do it my way. And I said, wouldn't it be wonderful if I was a snooty butler or a waiter, that type of character. And then I delivered the line, which I wrote, because I said, these are select soups. So I said, why settle when you can select?
Nice.
Now, here's a sock full of bisque for both of you, made with fresh creamery butter. Was tough with the speech impediment, because the old lisp gal came through when I said,
gal,
this is creamery butter. Now, you try saying that 20 times on a soundstage. Creamery butter.
Would you ever?
Why settle? You can still laugh.
Would you ever actually eat Campbell's soup?
No, it's foul. Foul. It's swill. Feed it to the pigs. Not to me. I took the money and ran. Campbell's soup. It sits in a can in a shelf in New Jersey. Who would want to enjoy that? It's disgusting. Cream of this, cream of that. It's all rodent droppings. I don't care for that, but they paid me and it's over and I don't have to be there anymore. Now I just concentrate on working with one of the great actors of our time, Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah. Well, right, Hank King.
Tambor is so wonderful in everything he does. He's a natural. He truly is. I poured 8 gallons of squash stew in the crapper. They gave me cans of the stuff. Giant, what are those stores where you buy in bulk? What are they called?
Costco,
yes.
Yes,
they gave me giant Campbell's soup selects in giant containers, and I poured them all down the commode. I had nothing to do with any of them. I wish I could have painted my homes with them. I have two homes.
Two homes?
Yes. South of France.
Yeah.
And Malibu. Thank you, Third Rock from the Sun. Sitcoms are so wonderful. They pay the light bill. They really are. I couldn't flush the soup fast enough. It was disgusting.
Speaking of Malibu, what is your take on Mel Gibson?
Mel Gibson, I agree.
What?
I'm in agreement with him. I believe all actors should stay together, and that's why I'm running down as soon as this interview concludes, and I'm joining the Nazi party.
Wow.
I'm going to stand side by side with Mel, my fellow actor. I'm going to put on the swastika and march with him. Yes. Kudos to you, Gibson. I am in the fraternity of actors.
No idea.
That's why I defend you and your right to say whatever idiotic things you need to say. Yes, the Jews started all the trouble, Mel. Embrace me, fellow actor. Maybe next time I could play Jesus. Wouldn't that be special? Oh, why hast thou forsaken me? Put a little beer on me and put me on the cross.
Who would you give me?
John Lithgow is Christ.
Would we give you hair extensions? Would you wear a wig?
Hollywood is so wonderful. They can transform you into anything. Mm-hmm. They turn, in the world according to Garp, they transformed me into a transsexual.
But
it wasn't much of a stretch.
You looked like a man wearing a dress in that movie.
Yes, but they actually fitted me with the woman's thing.
What, a daisy?
It was a daisy. I actually used it. It was very intricate as far as the plumbing was concerned.
That was like a plastic vagina?
It was a plastic vagina. You didn't know you could say that on your show. Oh, glorious, glorious me. Lithgow and his plastic vagina takes on Hollywood and the Nazi party. What an exciting day this is for all comers. I'm so happy. Hate crimes are good for the performer. They let you express yourself. I say, Mel, let me come to your house. We'll break open a bottle of that old bourbon whiskey and talk about Jews until the sun comes up. He must be from New York. I truly believe he must. What a wonderful day it is. Crisp air.
Yes.
Let's all go get some soup. Would you like some of my ass chowder?
I thought you just said you don't really like the soup.
I'm joking, of course. I don't eat the soup. I make my own delicious soups, and I use real creamery butter, not the fake stuff they have me hawk on television. It just comes in a big soup bowl, blue, blech, oh, horrible. Campbell's Select, a veal stroganoff that tastes like carpet. Out, out, foul. Foul substance, foul stock, soup, cream of garbage,
Why, I said, look, when you can select, though it tastes like my underneath my toenail.
We have to break it.
Yes.
And go to the news now.
Of course. Will you have stories about Del Gibson saying bad things about Jews?
No, we've pretty much covered that today.
Excellent job. May I have your entourage jacket?
No, I really like it. I'd like
please,
to
oh, please.
I'll find a gift for you.
All right. Find me a gift. Something off your fidgety wall. I'd love something from your fidget wall. That would be delightful.
You got it.
Yes, it's been such a great time. Please go see Barbara. If you haven't seen her, she's marvelous.
I'll consider it.
Barbara Streisand, The Way We Were. All those wonderful performances. She's delightful. And she's numero uno with all of us fags. Thank you.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you so much. I'm going to go home and take some of my old cans of Campbell's Select and make a toupee out of it for me. Fare thee well, Donald. Fare thee well, all of you.
John, let's go.
What do you think?
Wow. You got a show on with Hey Now.
20 good years.
Yep. And,
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
And Hank
yes.
on that show is more the straight guy, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's not like,
I don't mean sexually. I mean, he's the straight man.
He's not like Hank Kingsley. And Lithgow is like he is in Third Rock from the Sun.
Isn't that right, Lithgow?
Of course it is. Where's my cab? Where's my chariot?
Hold on.
I must bid you adieu. I need to get in my chariot. I'll wear my Roman centurion's outfit.
I bet you will.
Have a good news, Buzz.
Thank you.
Wow.
Chariot.
He's very wound up.
Chariot.
Very, very wound up.
Though. It's after 6 on the West Coast.
Yes, it is.
Or 3 on the West Coast. After 6 on the West Coast.
Yeah. I think he wants to get in.
That chariot.
I farted, Don. I farted. Smell. I farted.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Let me see. I mean, after 3 o'clock on the West Coast, that means it's time for the Buzz News Show.
Right.
And we'll be back with Buzz's News.
I just made. It looks like soup.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, yes. We got a big party Wednesday night.
Hey, fool. Sit up and pay attention. This ain't no time to nap.
Okay.
Cut the jibba jabba.
Here it is.
Get ready for some hot fun. This Wednesday, the Don and Mike Reno-style show returns to Hooters of Rockville, 1471 Rockville Drive. Come enjoy the scenery as you feast your eyes on the tempting, beautiful, voluptuous figure of the entire Don and Mike crew. Delicious Don, mouth-watering Mike, audacious Bud, red-hot Rob, and John and Joe, your joy boy. The fun starts at 8 p.m., so come out and revel in their sexiness. Oh, yeah, and the Hooters girls are pretty, too. Don and Mike at Hooters of Rockville. We'll see you there, baby. Buzz Burbank is certified clean. Medical documentation on file. Thank you.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. That's the word from Planet
Crestfire. Suck on that, losers. You can suck this.
Listen to them, and you will turn to butter. The Don and Mike Show.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me? Buzz is news and comments that I brought to you by Hooters. This year, do football the Hooters way. And now, here is Robert J. Griswold. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Donald Mike.
Hi, Bobby.
Even though more than half of us think the man should resign, prominent Republicans rushed to the defense of House Speaker Dennis Hastert yesterday.
Denny. Democrats are?
Republicans. Prominent Republicans.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you said Democrats. My mistake.
Prominent Republicans like Sandy Sullivan. And they were doing this even while a possible cover-up of the Mark Foley sex scandal is being investigated. Perhaps the most outrageous defense came from Connecticut Republican Christopher Shays when he said, quote, Dennis Hastert didn't kill anybody. I know the speaker didn't go over a bridge and leave a young person in the water.
That guy is so lazy.
Oh, boy. My mommy didn't like that one. That's the one up in Connecticut. You know where they went back to? They went back to Chappaquiddick.
Yeah, I know. And who's the guy that you just mentioned?
Shays.
Christopher Shays. He's lazy. All he does is lounge.
Shays lounge joke! Quoting a spokesman for Ted Kennedy, this just makes clear the real need for change in November, end quote. President Bush, meanwhile, stood shoulder to shoulder with Hastert on a million-dollar fundraiser yesterday, saying the country's better off with Hastert running the House, even though Hastert apparently knew for at least a year about Foley's emails to Pages.
Isn't that really the hizzy? Shouldn't he say he's better running the hizzy?
The hizzy.
And the hizzy?
Hip, hop, the hizzy and the hizzy.
The beans, they taste like wood. The peas. Sorry, the peas, they taste like wood.
Peas, they taste like wood.
Idiot.
Hotel, motel, holiday, inn.
It is a little surprising that after the heightened security since 9/11 that a plane could fly into a New York skyscraper. Even more surprising, as we discussed the other day, that it could do so without the pilot ever filing a flight plan, so long as the plane stays under 1,100 feet. In a city full of skyscrapers, what could possibly go wrong with pilots clearing buildings by as little as 100 feet, or, as in Corey Lytle's case, not clearing them? He was flying at an altitude of 500 feet. New Yorkers don't even want to see planes in the air over the city anymore. Lawmakers are clamoring for a change in the rules. The FAA says it's looking into that.
You know, it's like everything else in America. It's knee-jerk. It's just like no shampoo at when you're going through a metal detector. It's like now they're going to be, oh, my God, you can't fly a plane in New York.
Yeah, but it's knee-jerk, but it's something they should have had, like, before.
Yeah,
but no, I mean, now they do it. Now they do it, and now it's like, oh, we're going to be even worse.
And you know what will happen? It'll be like anything else. You're going to say, okay, now it's a no-fly zone.
Right.
Then there's going to be a lot of CEOs, a lot of Fortune 500 pricks who are going to say, I've got to take my helicopter off. And they say, okay, you know what? We're going to loosen it just a little bit.
Exactly.
You can go from... It's just like the thing with shampoo.
Yep.
Right. Just like... Isn't that right, Mel?
What are the Jews responsible for?
What are they responsible for?
Yeah.
I think that they're not blameless in their conflict. There's aggression.
Okay, thank you, Mel.
I wonder why Mel doesn't live in New York.
Yeah, you know, we were playing that and playing his complete answers.
You do
out of context with that. He's going to come out a lot worse.
Yeah.
Some folks laughed at billionaire Mark Cuban when he said you'd have to be a moron. They laughed like that, they did, when he said you'd have to be a moron to buy YouTube. And he called Google stupid for buying it at any price, much less the $1.65 billion Google paid for YouTube.
Right, I remember that.
There's less laughing at Cuban today now that Time Warner is threatening to sue the pants off GooTube for posting its copyrighted material. You should also know that YouTube will never be the same. It will no longer be a place you can go to find any video. One of Google's first moves as the new owner is to slap some software on the thing that tries to detect and weed out the copyrighted material.
Yeah, you knew it was going to be ruined.
Even a home video, a homemade video, maybe made with your camera phone or whatever. If there's a copyrighted song playing in the background of that home video, it'll be filtered out.
But let me just be devil's advocate.
All right.
And I bet that they find a way around it. I was reading about this, and they're saying that as far as Google's assets...
Right.
This is like one-tenth of 1% of their money.
Right.
And that they got enough, they could spend 2% of what they've got to buy the rights from everybody.
Right.
Then it'll all wash out eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
That most likely, at least what I was reading, was we won't get necessarily the apocalyptic, you know, end-of-the-world buzz is saying. It'll be somewhere between where it is now and a bunch of stupid commercials.
But the only thing the Cubans said that is true, it's like this is the first time you've heard about legal action.
Hold on,
and it's coming from a big company.
Oh, Rob, give me a minute. We have a tape of another Cuban.
A different Cuban other than Mark?
So was something else eating at him that night.
Well, that's Mel Gibson.
He says he has also realized he had been harboring an old resentment.
And the other thing, the other place it may have come from is, you know, as you know, a couple of years ago I released the film The Passion.
All right, so that's why the Jews hate you. Why you hate them. Another Cuban on Machine One.
Okay. It's a good Cuban.
Yeah.
Not Mark Cuban.
Ricardo.
Dulce on air. I love Lucy and she loves me. We're as happy as we can be.
Who can be?
The concern is now that there won't be one.
Thanks, Joe. Joe Spiewak.
At least that was something you could hear.
Joe.
It was wonderful.
The concern is now that you won't be able to go to just one website to get the video you're looking for. You'll have to go to Time Warner's website or Sony's website or whatever to find a particular clip that you want.
He's such a downer, man.
Other video websites are setting up similar software. It's what I do.
You think it's going to be fine?
I think it'll be
one
fine.
Way or another.
I think, and also what Buzz just said is most likely true as well, that if YouTube does go the way that Buzz is predicting here, somebody else will pick up the ball and run with it.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And as you were just saying, how many offshoots are there of YouTube already? Really?
Oh, my God. Right? Half a dozen at least, maybe more.
Mm-hmm. All right.
American and...
Mine is, incidentally, in patent pending, Fallopian.
Good luck with that.
Thank you.
I think that's going to work for you.
Appreciate it.
American and Canadian soldiers.
Fallopian tube.
Thank you. I'm here all week.
Bye-o. I only wish I could have one so I could tie you.
Then I would... Tie my tubes.
Tied your tubes.
Thank you. See, you did it.
I know I did.
You did it. You weren't even trying.
No, I was.
You were trying.
I'm not as stupid as you think. I knew the joke tying tubes already.
Tying tubes was in the pipeline.
Right.
That's very good.
And that's a joke, too.
Pipeline funny, too.
Pipeline tying tubes.
American and Canadian soldiers.
The inner government thought of that on both our counts.
Right.
You might call it the inner tube.
Even
the...
No, even,
thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to give it to you. You're top.
Tube top. I like this. Let's do a show.
We are.
American and Canadian soldiers.
Right now we are.
Soldiers from America and Canada still fighting the Taliban in Afghanistan, and especially lately, the enemy's been hiding in forests.
I can't wait to get home tonight to watch TV. Oh, God, I love the boob tube.
The tube.
You're still going, aren't you?
That's a good one. That's really a good name.
Oh, boob now I got to think of one. Oh, dear. That's a groovy line.
Groove tube?
That's too old. I'm sorry, I just killed it, didn't I?
I'd give it to you.
You think so?
I'd give it to you.
Groove tube?
Not really.
No.
Especially difficult for the soldiers in Afghanistan lately because the enemy's been hiding in forests that are so dense, they're nearly impossible to penetrate. These forests are not so much made up of trees, they're forests of 10-foot-tall marijuana plants.
All right.
Plants in Afghanistan so full...
This is Sergeant Ardinger. I want you to take that hill now!
These plants are so full of water in that jungle environment, they can't even be burned out of the way. Quoting a Canadian soldier, a couple of brown plants did catch on fire, but soldiers downwind from that had some ill effects.
Oh, dear.
This is Gunny Ardinger.
You mean we're out of MREs?
Gunnery Sergeant Joe Ardinger.
Help me, man.
Get this gun and go buy some Cheetos.
I want them right now. Quoting another soldier there, before I joined the Army, I never thought I'd say damned marijuana. And another look at Bad Decision 06 when we return.
All right, thank you, bud.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crespa?
The Don and Mike Show.
Fulfilling nature's order. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, here we go. It's time now with Bob Burgundy.
Yeah, baby.
Bobby's News this time brought to you by eDiamonds.com. Find a little brilliance with a pair of diamond stud earrings from eDiamonds.com. That's www.e-cot. Christ.
Well, why don't you just throw out the www?
Because that's... Look at that's exactly...
They need it there?
It says
that out.
That's www.e-diamonds.com.
And what's the whole thing? Why do people insist on wanting the www in there?
I don't know. And it's not that that bothers me. It's the www then written D-O-T.
It's e-diamonds.com.
But no, it's www.e-diamonds.com.
Well, everything has www.
Or call 1-800-HER-LOVE. Anyway,
I think we got it out there.
They're bringing us Ron's news tonight. Here now is Ron Bulldog. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
Yes.
One other note about Bad Decision 06 from Virginia's Senate race. Republican George Allen stuck his foot in it more than once in the campaign, calling a guy macaca.
Hold on. Here's George Allen right here.
Since I was a kid in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, now in the new millennium, you can read of an ever-escalating kind of conflagration over there in the Middle East.
George Twitchy, Allen. Twitchy.
When I was 20, man, that place is going to drag us all into the black hole, you know?
George Allen.
Just the difficulty over there. And you start thinking, well, I ever see my grandchildren grow up, you know? What's going to become of the world?
Right, George.
Press the button. And that's fear-related, okay? So, you know, you have your own fears about these things.
But there's a difference between saying that place is a tinderbox.
Shut up, Diane. The senator's talking.
The constellation of things happening there
about
could
to
take
tango
it all
here.
Down and yeah. saying the Jews are responsible for all the wars.
No, I
the
did
Jews
say that.
Are responsible.
Well,
2003, 2003.
Strictly speaking, that's not true because it takes two to tango.
There's Jews at my table.
George Allen. was a pause there you could drive an Exodus through.
A little scary.
I mean, you know, the more we hear the Mel Gibson tapes,
mm-hmm.
you know, the funnier and really the creepier they are.
They are creepy.
Yeah.
Very creepy. And then there's Senator Allen, or candidate Allen in Virginia, calling a guy macaca, the I'm a Jew but I eat pork reference, the Confederate flag explanation. It's been a lot of fun, but the fun is apparently over. The Washington Post reports that Allen's advisors have advised him to shut up, mm-hmm. at least to reporters in the final days of close race with Democrat Jim Webb.
Shut up!
They're keeping Allen away from the cameras and microphones.
Shut up!
They've even started pre-screening reporters during...
I'm George Allen, and I approve this message.
Screen reporters during his weekly conference call now. A Homer Simpson crystallized the confusion of many people when he posed the question, has the whole world gone gay?
Oh, Homer.
Homo.
For what it's worth, the answer is yes.
Has the whole world gone gay?
The world now has its first museum dedicated to gay animals in Oslo, Norway, delivering the message that the birds and the bees are gay. The Natural History Museum in Oslo says it's determined that over 1,500 species include males who, at some point, go gay.
Aren't really all animals gay? I mean, at least dogs. The last time I checked out, don't they, like, smell each other's butts? And
what's the line about a dog? You know, would
right,
you do that?
Because you can.
Right,
yeah,
because
you can. And also, how many times, I can't tell you how many times, I would see, when Max was still alive, my littlest dog, the German Shepherd would be standing there, and Max would just come up and start licking his, you know, his dog thing.
Yeah, it's a expression of friendship.
Yes. Hello, friend.
Blake loves Judy Garland.
We've we've evolved beyond that with our species. It's a shame that we have.
Well said.
And what way to be a friend?
And of these 1,500
thank you.
Species, I don't know what to say.
Thank you, friend.
You can suck this.
Trusted friend.
500 of those species are especially known for this activity. In some cases...
I guarantee ostriches are gay. I mean, if we're talking about gay... And so are flamingos.
Flamingos.
Yeah. And peacocks.
That's a stereotype. Yes.
Yeah, peacocks.
Right.
In some cases, animals do this, the males do, to make the female feel less threatened, and then the males pounce on the females.
I think squirrels are gay, too.
Probably.
Certain squirrels.
They'd have to go to the museum.
They love nuts.
In Oslo to find
these nuts.
Homosexuality in the animal kingdom, from beetles to whales. Aristotle first noticed it 2,300 years ago, and it survived in spite of what would appear to be a genetic dead end. The museum says its study has concluded that homosexuality doesn't go against nature. It's part of nature.
You said it's a dead end?
Genetically, it would seem so, and yet it continues.
Which end?
Sorry. Quoting the exhibit organizer, the sexual urge is strong in all animals. It's part of life. It's fun to have sex, end quote.
I could probably teach you a few things. Like, you know, some positions and moves.
There he is again.
There's my dog, Chris.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad. I'd let you in just so I could feel you on top of me.
You're a good boy.
Sit, Chris.
Come here, Chris.
I'll make it feel really good for you, hon.
Got a great delivery. In sports, the Uniontown, Pennsylvania T-ball coach who gave a player $25 to bean the retarded kid is going to prison.
He's mentally retarded.
Okay, oh, Buzz, first, the kid was autistic.
Yes, I'll get to that, right?
So, I mean, you know.
And he had a gay cat.
He had a gay cat named Chris.
Autistic is not... It's a cousin of retarded, right?
This particular young man is autistic and mildly retarded.
Oh,
he's actually both.
Wow. Lottery loser.
Man.
A life lottery loser.
Don't beam him.
Let me tell the story.
You like the mild?
Coach Downs, Mark Downs Jr., worked in a league with 7 to 9 year olds.
I'll tell you what, that coach, he's in his own syndrome.
I knew that was coming.
Of course.
Coach Downs has been sentenced to 1 to 6 years in prison for something the judge called outrageous and extremely reprehensible.
Good.
The coach says he did it, paid one of his players $25 to bean the autistic kid to keep him from playing.
Buzz, this story got a lot of play on ESPN and other places.
To keep the autistic kid from playing?
Right. That way he thought it would hurt his team's chances of winning.
So being the kid on the same team.
Keep the autistic kid out. It's like fragging, I guess. You have one of your players take out the autistic kid, and he improves your chances of winning.
Now, that's awful, agreed.
Right.
However, you could look at the very same newspaper that I read that story today, and you can see guys that rob banks, guys that carjack. They're going to jail if they go to jail for 3 months.
Right.
This guy got 6 years
1 to 6
in jail.
Mm-hmm. Even probably less than one.
Well, what I read was that the judge said, you know, screw you, I'm giving you everything that I can give you,
right,
like a 6-month increment, but I'm going to do it times 10, 12, 18.
Well, when he gets out, he'll understand that whole animals being gay thing. He'll know that well.
You'll get no argument from him.
I'm so sore. Anyway, isn't that typical America, though?
Yes, it is.
Really, go ahead and rob a bank, and you'll be out that night. Just throw at some autistic kid.
Well, you'd get 25 to life if you robbed a bank, and they were all autistic tellers.
Well, you know what? Jesus, you should. If you go into a bank that has a bunch of retards and you can't rob it,
mm-hmm,
you deserve to be arrested. If you couldn't pick that one off.
Listed.
My bank and life goes on.
Listed officially as the cause of the accident, women's lingerie. That story when we continue.
Hello.
What's his name?
Chris Burke.
Chris Burke. Chris Burke Bank.
Chris Burke Bank. Corky Bank, guys.
Right.
Corky Bank.
With every check you got, you get some free poison ivy oil.
Welcome to Corky Savings and Loan.
You're right.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
God is their audience. The Don and Mike Show.
You're a goddamn genius.
Let's see. I guess I'll go. I'm probably going to make an appearance at the Barbra Streisand.
All right.
We'll have a review on Monday.
Just a meter. Also, let me see. Heard that starting on October 23rd, you will be heard in the fabulous city of West Palm Beach, Florida.
Yeah. Well, I think that's wonderful.
Right? Station WJNA.
Very excited about that.
JNA, that's the station.
Hello, West Palm.
Starting the 23rd of October. Now, once again, here is Bob Girdley. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi there.
Finally, the French have proven to be a pain in the ass, even to the French. In Paris, medical personnel accidentally left the X-ray scanner on too long as they screened 23 guys for prostate cancer.
No.
One guy died, and 13 others got radiation sickness.
Oh,
how bad you want me to get, Jack? If I get any worse, the Johnson office won't pass it.
The sickness included a great deal of rectal inflammation. One of the guys needed... One of the guys needed surgery.
How you doing, John? Just fine, thank you.
One guy needed surgery and also, we're told, was fitted with an artificial anus.
Oh, my.
Had to be. French officials have ordered an investigation, a probe, if you will.
Well,
I'm Buzz that. Burbank
you.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No. The right song. Where's my freedom music? We gotta fly. Have a great, safe weekend, everybody.
Enjoy the show.
I'll let you know what happened.
Oh, please do.
See you on Monday, new episode. Love you, sweet. Love you, Bart. Love you, Amy. Have a great one, everybody. A good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you over there.
Good day to you, sir.
Hey, Klaus.
I brought a little bunny rabbit for you to have, eh?
Himself to it.
Right.
He's detaching himself from it. And he's got some work to do, or he's got to get some people around him that help him, handle this thing, because right now it doesn't sound convincing.
Here's an excerpt you're going to love about Tonda's kids. This is where he talks about he's got to have a drink.
The first time Gibson was arrested drunk was 1984 after rear-ending a car. He entered AA in 1991. But he has talked about his suicidal despair at relapsing. His family has had to endure it all. And this time, the added horror of watching the news about the bigoted words.
Oh, I just went home, and some of my kids were there. And, you know, I talked to them for a little bit. And it was a little rough that morning. So I chased it down with a few cold ones, you know.
Wow.
Smart.
Whoa.
Real smart.
Wow.
Real, wow. Real smart.
I'm on the second bear.
Hey, stop it now.
He got back from the police station?
Yes, and he had to tell his kids about it, so he had to pour back a couple.
For the courage. Again.
Jesus.
I agree.
Is there any way someone is advising him to do this?
I don't know, man.
No.
In the full knowledge.
That morning.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of unbearable to face. So it was...
Now, at that point, if you're doing the interview, don't you stop him and say, hold on a sec. Just what Mike said. You just got popped for DUI. You have to tell your family,
and you're drinking before you have to tell them?
Well, here's, you know what it also tells me? Really? What it really tells me? I mean, God Almighty, the guy does have a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Jesus, to knock a few back before, after you've gone through that, I would assume you're sober at the
but
time. And you're not, boy, that's amazing.
Even if you do that, you don't go on TV when you're on with this.
I sure wouldn't talk about that.
Throw that out there.
Wow.
Something I thought, well, this is it. This will be the end of it, but I just have to get through this morning, you know.
But wait a minute. You talked to your kids while you were slugging down more to get through it?
You're not operating well, but you know you have to do something.
All right, and then here's...
Really, being honest.
Here's the obligatory...
It's really a blessing.
Oh. You love this. This is almost like when they were saying over and over yesterday, you know, the plane crash puts things in perspective.
Yeah.
Here's another... real trite cliche that's used too much. Oh, it's a blessing in disguise.
Huh. Look, this whole experience, in a way, for me, I'm sort of viewing it now as a kind of a blessing.
Yeah, right. Best thing that's ever happened to you, Mel. Your box office boffo now. Spielberg cannot wait to work with you.
A blessing might have been severing his index finger and saying, hey, I did that while I was drunk. Maybe I should get into rehab. Right.
Because
a blessing?
Yeah. Well, firstly, I got stopped before I did any real damage to anyone else. Thank God for that. I didn't hurt myself. You know, I didn't leave my kids fatherless. That's good. That's a blessing, okay?
That's good. Let's not think about the innocent people you might have killed.
No.
It's a good thing that Mel's still here. That's the first thing. Good thing Mel is still here.
Wow. Amen.
The thing is, sometimes you need a cold bucket of water in the face to sort of snap to.
That's all this is?
Because you're dealing with a sort of a malady of the soul, an obsession of the mind, and a physical allergy. And some people need a big tap on the shoulder. In my case, public humiliation on a global scale.
See, he's even flip about that.
It's public humiliation on a global scale.
Yeah, he's detached from it. I think
to be what was required.
Humiliation for him, outrage from others, and a lot of questions about alcohol revealing who you really are.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's hear one more. We got time for one more before we go to Buzz?
People say, alcohol just liberates you to say what you really feel. It's what you really feel. It's not changing.
Well, that's patently false.
Wow. I agree with him. I do. I agree with him about that. Now, we've never discussed that, but I also think, I've heard so many people say, oh, man, it's what you feel in your soul. I don't know what's in Mel Gibson's soul, but I will tell you from personal experience, when you get absolutely faced, when you get absolutely loaded, and I've done this, I've probably done this to people in this room, you say things, you find things in your mind. This is what I've done personally. You find something that you can say that will be, at the time, especially if it's in an argument situation, something as hurtful as it possibly can be.
Yeah.
And you will say it to be hurtful, to say the meanest possible thing you can say.
But he didn't know, according to him.
But to some of the stuff he said, I don't defend what he said.
He didn't know the cop was a Jew.
Right, right. He's just rambling. Now, that's a different thing. But I will tell you that, you know, on a one-on-one basis, when when people say, you know, everything that comes out of your mouth when you've been drinking, I'm not sure I buy that.
He was not that faced. If you go by
exactly
what they said,
you're right.
0.12.
Now, what I'm making the case for is everybody that's talking about in general, when you're under the influence, you're going to say
like
something that
serum, right.
It's like that. I don't necessarily agree with that. However, his ramblings went, you know, in another direction where he wasn't. It wasn't all directed right at the cop, right?
It was more like a grand scheme.
I hate Jews. It was Jews are the reason for every war in the world.
Right.
Effing Jews. So she goes through this with him, and then here's the closing that she has. Brilliant journalist.
So he admits they were bigoted statements. Mm-hmm. He admits that they were in him. Tomorrow we debate where they came from, and every viewer will decide for themselves how they feel about his answers. Eager to hear his answers.
If he
why
gives...
do they pussyfoot around this? You know, why if you're an anchor on this show, why is it so hard for one of these anchors to say, the guy made anti-Semitic comments. He's got a problem. I mean, why do we have to dance around like this? Oh, I'm looking forward to hear what he has to say tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, you know what they're going to do tomorrow. I would imagine the interview is going to go the exact same way when they really ought to explore. Because, you know, the fact is, if this guy didn't have the track record that he does with his father, with Passion of the Christ, with everything that's gone along with this, you know, who knows how they're going to do this.
The first
tomorrow.
Time Gibson was arrested drunk was 1984 after rear-ending a car.
He entered AA in 1991.
No one likes a quitter.
But he has talked about his suicidal despair at relapsing. His family has had to endure it all. And this time, the added horror of watching the news about the bigoted words.
Oh, I just went home, and some of my kids were there, and, you know, I talked to them for a little bit. And it was a little rough that morning. So I chased it down with a few cold ones, you know.
Do you know when they say, when they talk about...
stupid!
He is. He is not getting good advice. When they talk about it being truth serum, though, I think in many cases it can be lying serum. Do you remember the guy that came to our appearance that was saying he was Irish?
The guy with the accent.
Remember that? That type of crap. I mean, I've seen that a lot. I really have. It's interesting. But this guy, I think you're going to be probably more angry tomorrow when you hear what he has to say, because he really is treating it like... I feel like I'm listening to somebody talk about another person.
And you should watch the body language. The body language is sitting back in the big fluffy chair, and like he's being interviewed, like he's doing.
I think the ego. It sounds to me like the ego might be such that he is saying, "Hey, I don't need any help. I don't need any advice. I'll handle this on my own." And the shocking part, popped open, got back from the police department, and popped open a couple of cold ones.
Yeah, because he had to tell the kids.
Wow.
Had to tell the kids.
Jesus.
By the way, the police are investigating now in California, are investigating the officer who arrested Mel Gibson for that drunk driving charge.
Why?
They've confiscated his computer. They think he's the source of leaks from the police department, including the four-page police report on Mel's arrest.
Well, T.S., he should be able to, right? No, yes.
Apparently not.
No way.
They're investigating.
I don't think so. I mean,
listen, if I was a Jewish cop, and Mel Gibson pulled me over and started spouting off about I hate the Jews, I'd call up somebody and I'd say, "Hey, guess what? I can't tell you this, but I just arrested Mel Gibson.
I just don't know
whether he hates all the Jews."
I'm just talking this purely legal level, whether that's legal for a cop to do that.
They got a search warrant. Like a judge thinks so. Yeah.
Really? A judge thinks there's a problem?
I think so. He gave him a warrant.
Yeah. Well, like cops follow the rules all the time anyway, so you know what I mean. Come on. I watch Law and Order. I see what's going on, you know. Always, hey, we got to have a warrant. Do you have a fingerprint? Not really. And then I always go wake up a judge in the middle of the night who says, "Well,
hey, this one better not backfire, McCoy."
That's right. They only break the rules if Jerry Lewis is their uncle.
And that's Richard Belzer.
Yeah. It's my uncle, Buzz.
Yes.
Excuse me, Bob.
Yes.
Bob, you've got news of the day, don't you?
Indeed I do.
We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They want to sing. La la, la 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 la. The Don and Mike Show.
La 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 la. You got it for me, Head. Thank you, Don. It's time for Bob's Look of the World.
Hey!
Bob is brought to you tonight by eDiamonds.com. Find a little brilliance with a pair of diamond stud earrings from eDiamonds.com. That's www.e-diamonds.com. Or simply call 1-800 for love. And now here he is, Bob Gleason. Hi, BG.
Yay! Hi, Donna Mike. When a former page saw Congressman Mark Foley pat another male page on the butt on the floor of the House of Representatives, he thought maybe that's just how they do things in Washington.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
Quoting this former page who's now come forward, "I wasn't sure if it was a social norm I wasn't accustomed to."
Page.
That's why he says he didn't report what he says he saw in 2001. Quoting former page Richard Nguyen, "I mean, you see athletes patting each other's asses all the time."
Oh, dear.
Sure, so it's perfectly normal to see a congressman doing that to a page.
Yes, right there where laws are made, in the same chamber where each president delivers his State of the Union speeches, congressional grab ass in the back of the room.
I bet it was gentler.
Congressional pages are high school juniors who live in a dorm near Capitol Hill.
Golly, this is fun.
There's also a report being investigated that Congressman Foley tried to get into that dorm after hours.
Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear. That's like something your mother would say.
I know. I've been saying it a lot.
Oh, dear.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, dear.
President Bush knows that a lot of us don't think he's very bright. He even said so yesterday. In fact, the president used that perception to explain his use of the phrase "cut and run."
He's mentally retarded.
In describing the Democrats' plan to withdraw from
Thank
Iraq.
Thank you!
Reporters were trying to get the president to admit it's a manipulative political buzz phrase. No, he said, it's his limited vocabulary. Here's the quote. Well, they may not use cut and run, but they say date certain as to get out before the job is done. And maybe their words are more sophisticated than mine, but when you pull out before the job is done, that's cut and run as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and pull out.
As far as most Americans are concerned.
Yeah, come on, dummies, join with me.
End quote. Which leaves us with the same problem we had with Jessica Simpson. Dumb or just playing dumb?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
Yeah.
Did you see Jon Stewart on Letterman last night?
No, I have not seen that yet.
Okay. Jon Stewart brought up a point. He was goofing around,
right?
But it made me stop and think for a second. He was talking about how stupid Bush is, about how Bush never answers a question by just,
right,
like, repeating obvious things.
Right.
And then
by the time he gets to it, it's gone anyway.
Mm-hmm. And Jon Stewart said, you know, that's actually very smart of Bush, and he might be smarter than we're giving him credit for, because by coming out and never answering a question or saying, like, what about the Speaker of the House? What about Dennis Hazard? Right. What about him? First thing he says, lifelong friend.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Good, strong Republican. Been in the House for 10. It's like, doesn't answer the question.
Exactly.
And he gets by. Jon Stewart made sense. Bush now gets by because people accept the stupidity.
Sure, and he doesn't have to answer the question.
Except, what if he's not that stupid?
What if it's manipulative?
And what if it's like Jon Stewart said, we're the stupid ones.
Yeah.
What if we're the stupid ones?
That's a strange possibility.
Could Bush be that smart?
Stupid as a fox? Stupid as a fox, Don.
Crazy as a fox.
It's crazy as a fox, but I'm going to say stupid as a fox.
Meanwhile,
stupid as a fox, and it might just work.
See, that would be a Bushism.
Yes.
He would say stupid as a fox when he knows.
I bet that's what he says behind closed doors.
Laura, I am stupid as a fox. They think I'm stupid, but I'm just not answering the question.
That's my strategy.
And meanwhile, he continues to talk like classic rock DJ in four-word phrases.
Yeah, that's also very true, because if you've ever noticed, like, Q104... Solid Rock. Zeppelin. Billy.
Cut and run. Not going to do that.
Lifelong friend.
Lifelong friend. Politically, the president may also be not as right-wing Christian as we've come to believe. David Kuo helped set up the president's Office of Faith-Based Initiatives. That office was supposed to funnel government money to church groups that were saving the government money by taking care of community needs, like feeding hungry people. But as the number two man in that office in the early days, Kuo says the project never got the presidential support it needed to succeed. Instead, he says the office was there to score political points with the evangelical Christians who helped elect and re-elect George W. Bush. In his book, Kuo says, quote, Christian leaders received hugs and then were dismissed behind their backs, described as ridiculous, out of control, and goofy. The president's most trusted advisor, Karl Rove, called them nuts, according to the book. Kuo says the office was used to mobilize religious voters in 20 congressional races in the last midterm election.
Kuo.
But this will lighten the mood. Arnold Schwarzenegger has now soundly and solidly distanced himself from the president.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He told Jay Leno last night, to link me to George Bush is like linking me to an Oscar. That's ridiculous. Arnold's opponent now wants equal time on
it. Wonder who wrote that for him.
Hey, that's great that Arnold...
If you link me to the president, it's like linking me to the Oscar.
That's like self-defecating. Yeah,
thanks, Arnold. Thanks. Yeah. Good luck to you in your campaign.
Did you read in the paper today the picture of whoever the clod is that's running against Arnold?
That Greek guy, I forgot what his name is.
Wants equal time.
Bill and treaties or something.
And they're giving NBC...
God, I wish I knew the guy's name.
They're giving him the benefit of the doubt, saying that it's a news show.
But it's not. Yeah, the Leno show's not a news show, and therefore doesn't have to give equal time. But we'll see. We'll see if they put the guy on.
It was sickening. Leno said, good luck, my friend.
Yeah, he said, good luck, my friend. Yeah, and they did talk politics, like during the interview, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did.
I wish I could find that guy's name.
Gosh, elections can be fun. Take the one in Garden Haven, Michigan, where they're reprinting 170,000 ballots at a cost of $40,000. Seems there was a typo in the first batch of election ballots for next month. A question, an amendment to the state constitution meant to use the word public. In spite of checks...
Pubic?
In spite of checks by six proofreaders,
pubic,
yes,
pubic.
somebody left out the L.
Yes, that's right.
Now,
that's right.
Election officials have pubically embarrassed themselves.
Now I'm laughing, Jack.
That bad you want me to get, Jack. If I get any worse, the Johnson office won't pass it.
That's right, Ian.
And the votes seem to be in on the evening newscast. The only way it can get any worse for Katie Couric is if people start hurling their TVs out their windows. Couric's ratings on the CBS Evening News have gone down every week since she signed on right after Labor Day. They are now half what they were for her debut. And although deeply mired in third place, CBS says it's looking at the long term and steady growth.
You know, I would have to say that's true, that you can't expect... First of all, who watches the news anyway? I mean, it's a...
Evening News is kind of a dinosaur at this point.
It's a dying breed.
Right.
Hey, give her a chance. You know, I mean...
Wow, what are you saying?
She's a girl.
That's manufactured kindness, Don.
That was manufactured kindness, wasn't it? That was really... That was very big of you.
Perhaps CBS can cut its losses with...
You always wanted to get her, didn't you?
Yeah, I always wanted to get her.
Wanted to get her.
Take those little pixie glasses off.
From that day she sat on your console.
Yeah, I got a teleprompter for you. See if you can read what I'm going to write on the wall.
Well,
Mike, we got the guy's name. Hello, what's his name? Hello there.
His name is Phil Angelides.
Phil
Angelides.
That's him. Thank you, Brendan.
Just wanted to be fair.
That's the guy that's running against Arnold.
That's right.
The guy that wants to be on Leno.
Well, maybe CBS can cut its losses with the $500,000 it got at auction for the Starship Enterprise model. That's the one used in the opening title of the original Star Trek series.
Cooper!
The 78-inch long model was sold last Saturday by Christie's to an unnamed bidder.
Hi there. Hi there.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Mike. What I want to do is, I want to find a pastry shop. And what I want to buy is one of those things that like Batman puts a bat phone in.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, what's that?
Like a cake dome.
A cake dome. You never see it anymore. You got to go to an old-fashioned diner.
Cake dome.
Yes. Have you never been in a diner and they said, like, you want a piece of cake?
Oh, yeah, and you lift up the thing?
Right. Yeah.
Oh,
okay. That's what I'm going to put my Enterprise
in. A giant one?
In a giant cake
78
dome.
78 inches?
Yeah.
A giant cake dome.
If I can afford to spend, how much did I spend on the Enterprise?
$500,000.
I can afford to buy the world's biggest cake dome.
6.5 feet. You might have to lift it up with a crane.
I have to throw a counterpane over that.
Cake dome.
Now, even Mickey Mouse has a sex tape. That's our story when we return.
All right, bro.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
1, 2, 3.
They'll make you shart. The Don and Mike Show.
That's the goal. Skid Mark City.
I'm flipping my arms around.
I like it. Hello, Robert.
Hi, Don and Mike. Now, yes, even Mickey Mouse has a sex tape. Gay sex, naturally.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Disney's not happy.
He's a big faggot.
Disney's not happy the video turned up on YouTube.
Oh.
And Disney's not happy that the people it hires in France to dress up as Mickey and Goofy and all the rest have pretend orgies in costume and capture it all on video.
Hello, I am Mickey Mouse. I love to suck tea.
Bend over, Pluto.
Hello, this is Mickey Mouse. Goofy gave me AIDS.
Boring.
Oh, it wasn't Goofy. Disney's investigating and has apologized, saying this didn't happen, did not happen, in a public area of Disneyland Paris.
Oh,
now, as I understand it, the video is gone from YouTube now, and I guess into the Disney vault. But there are a few screen captures that will horrify children for years to come, including the one of Mickey and the gay chipmunks.
Why do you think they called it Gay Pelly?
But the one of Goofy and Minnie, intriguing.
Mm.
I actually saw it this morning.
Yeah.
And the thing that's the funniest is that there is some cupping and there is some grinding. But the funniest thing is that because they're in these Disney costumes, their faces stay locked in those big smiles. And to see, Goofy coming up behind Minnie. With
Bonjour.
That smile, it's good fun.
Intriguing.
Better than the Little Mermaid.
Hello.
In Provincetown, Massachusetts, where gay people abound, some ugly things have been said recently by gay people. A few bad straight people started, apparently. A couple of haters beat up a couple of Jamaican guys and yelled something about gay marriage. Since then...
Well, Rob,
my name is Hugh.
I'm Hugh. Hugh Hamilton.
Since that time, there have also been reports of heterophobia and breeder bashing. Among gays, breeder is a derogatory term for straight people.
Look at those breeders over there.
See? I can't believe those breeders are just eating their ice cream cone.
Look at those breeders. Look at them with all the little their Billy Ray Cyrus haircuts.
Let's go beat them up.
The police chief says that around the 4th of July, he got 4 complaints from tourists about being called breeders by the local gays.
Breeders, you're breeders. There you go, breeders. Have fun looking at your little gift shops, you know, buying nice things for each other.
Hey, breeder. Quoting. Where are you going to? Old Navy. Are you going to buy some khakis? You breeder.
Get back in your Prius, breeder.
What are you thinking about tonight? Going home and having intercourse with your wife? Breeder.
Breeders.
Quoting a lesbian city councilwoman, I don't know anyone who hates heterosexuals. We wouldn't be here without them.
Rob does.
Everybody.
You hate everybody equally. That's a good thing. Leave a penny, take a penny. Or in the case of Uncle Sam...
Yelling!
Hi!
Hi! Yelling line one.
Or, of course, money penny. In the case of Uncle Sam, use 2 pennies to make 1. It now costs the government more than a cent to manufacture and distribute a shiny new penny.
That's bad business!
Do you have any idea what it costs to ship rolls of pennies across the country?
Then what's the point?
Neither do we, but it can't be cheap.
We asked expert Alan Langwand.
I'll get it to you for half.
I don't think we should continue with the project.
The U.S. Mint says if it gets any more expensive to crank out pennies, it'll ask Congress to let them make pennies out of some other material besides copper or just do away with the penny altogether.
I can't tell you, when Alan was the general manager at WJFK, we got months of fun out of super gluing a penny to the floor.
Every day. It was in the same spot. Still tried to pick it up.
I brought a screwdriver!
I broke a nail.
And in sports, a couple of coaches at a gym in Seminole County, Florida, are in trouble for putting the screws to their athletes. One of the coaches admits he, for years, stabbed gymnasts with drywall screws. Those are very, very sharp screws, long ones that hurt as much coming out as they do going in.
Why? Where?
The coach says that's how he was taught to train the boys. Most of the time, underperformers would get one right in the ass cheek. That's where the drywall screw was done. Athletes and parents contacted the police, and they took the investigation from there.
Wow.
I did it if we didn't make budget.
Picking up the penny.
There's a penny on your ass.
Pry it off with a drywall screw.
Yeah, Alan.
What a coincidence. The moral, that's not where you're supposed to put the stick. The story, when we continue.
Whoa. You're a dirty birdie today, Robert.
Whoa.
You really are. I look at you, and I don't even think I know you, Sam Milkman. We'll be back with more of Sam's News.
Sam Milkman.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Thanks for listening, fat ass. The Don and Mike Show.
One last quick observation from our fan site.
Are they still at it?
Now there's at least 5 threads. Like, Don is a bully. Don is an ass. I'll kick Don's ass. He can't take any criticism. But the thing that made me laugh is...
Anything about Dear Leader on there?
Yeah, there's some of that.
Okay.
Because someone writes, I think they were talking tongue-in-cheek today when they were saying all that stuff about wanting to be treated like King Kim Jong-il. I picture them rolling their eyes. At least I hope so. Jesus Christ.
Come on.
No, we're totally serious.
Buy the clue, please.
I'm 100% serious.
You must know we are serious about all of that. Finally, perhaps not since lawn darts has there been a toy as dangerous as diving sticks.
Darts!
They're pool toys that sink to the bottom and float upright. Children are then supposed to dive in and retrieve them. What
could
possibly go wrong?
Oh, no.
The Mrs. William Shatner toys.
Well, as with lawn darts, people don't always read and follow the directions, like trying to use them in a wading pool, for instance.
Oh, God.
9,000 of the sticks were recalled in 1999 after at least a half dozen injuries. And the very next year in St. Petersburg, a boy landed on one as he came off a pool slide.
Holy mashed potatoes.
No!
It only penetrated about 1.5 inches, but there had to be surgery and a colostomy.
Oh.
Holy nightmare.
His parents are now suing Walmart and the company that distributes the toy. Wrecked him. It nearly killed him.
Holy Las Vegas.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No! All right, that's it. We gotta go.
We're going home tonight and contemplate what we say that's funny and what we say that's not funny.
Absolutely.
We're serious!
Yes, of course.
I'm damn serious! It'll be like Jay and Silent Bob. I'm going to come to your houses tonight. Knock on your door, beat the crap out of you.
Yeah, baby.
I'm so crazy out of control. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, dear leader.
Okay, Robert.
Good day, dear leader.
And Kong Klaus.
Carrie, I love you. Let's do it another year.
Yeah, happy 10th, bro.
You're a romantic, all right.
Yeah.
We are leaving now.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.